All right, now I'm ready to shift into turbo.
Ooh, shift into turbo?
Yeah.
Nice. Welcome to... God damn it. Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where you watch a forgotten superhero movie and decide, does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly? My name is Arnaldo. I'm your host, and I'm joined by...
Birdo.
So, Birdo, what movie are we watching today?
We are doing Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
Right. Last week, I say week, and it's usually about a two-week period. Last episode. We actually recorded it like a month ago. it was before Christmas.
Yeah.
But anyway, by the time this comes out, and it's about 2 weeks.
It's a process.
Our episodes are 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
They're long episodes. We don't expect anyone to like listen to it in one sitting. You know?
Right. Like maybe like, you know, on your drive to work.
Yeah.
On your drive back from work. And then on your drive to work the next day.
Exactly.
Good example there.
Yeah. I listen to a couple long format podcasts and it's like four commutes before I finish one episode.
Most of the podcasts I listen to are long format. I don't like short ones. I don't know.
They're very bite sized. I like short ones too, but it's like I'll just binge them a lot more. Like I'll go through every episode and then I'm like, oh, I'm out of stuff.
Like hour and a half is like a sweet spot for me to listen to.
Well,
ours are a little bit longer, but
it depends. Usually they're mostly an hour and a half. Yeah.
Some of them come close to like 2 hours. A few of them have been over 2 hours.
A few of them have. last episode, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers of the movie was slightly over two.
Yeah. Which is it's longer than the movie.
Yeah. That's always a little embarrassing. Isn't it? It's just there's so much to unpack when you talk about the Power Rangers.
More than you would think.
And you know what it's come... I'm going to introduce the rest of the show in a minute. But like, you know what it's come to make me realize? Is that this is more similar to comic books than anything Marvel and DC has made on film.
It kind of is.
Because... You know why? Because I spent a day watching Power Rangers episodes. I watched like
just 10 various things.
I watched like 10 or 12 episodes.
Did you watch Turbo episodes? Or were you watching...
No, I was watching older stuff. I wanted to get caught up.
Oh, okay. But so, you didn't watch Zio stuff?
I did. Well,
that's what leads into this.
I know, but I'll get into it.
All right.
I have a lot of Zio like kind of to memory. But anyway, the Power Rangers TV show, you see the production through the story. Like, it clear as day. Like, you see characters coming and going. You see Zords coming and going. The plot reasons that they come up with to write off real world things are horrible.
Just like a comic book.
Just like a comic book. And the and what happens is the stories that they come up with are so like rote that they don't feel natural at all. And it just makes you go, oh shit, like they came up with something crazy and now they're going to have to like work it into their canon later. And then they're going to contradict it. But then they're going to have to retcon everything to make sense. You know, and that's what old school comic books were like. They made everything up on the spot.
That was, yes.
And that's what they did on this show.
Comic books are still like that.
They're not,
it's not as egregious right now, but no, like, especially, I want to say the 90s era, when they were constantly just trying to introduce new edgy things, but fit it into the established canon already, so it got a little messy.
Yeah. You know what's a good example?
The Clone Saga from Spider-Man.
Okay, sure. I'm moving back to Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
I watched the first few episodes of season two, right? And that's when they introduced Lord Zedd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when he came on screen, he was scary. Like, he's sinister. And he's, like, immediately killing off characters. Not literally killing them off, but, like, disposing of longtime villains.
Like, the
established
dumb,
villains.
Like, henchmen villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was quite frightening. And then, like, there was backlash because he was too scary for kids. And then in later episodes, they dumbed him down and made him more kind of like a bumbling buffoon kind of character.
Right. Yeah, they did do that.
So, I mean, there's an example right there where it's just kind of the thing evolves.
They were very reactive based on...
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about the Power Rangers. but yeah, so we are covering three Power Rangers episodes. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie from 95.
Yeah.
That's our most recent episode. Check that out. And then we're doing this Turbo Power Rangers movie,
which
1997.
Was basically a pilot for the Turbo series, is basically what I'd
consider.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into it in
maybe
a bit.
Maybe slightly higher budget, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then next episode, we're going to do the 2017 reboot.
Yes, which Power is like Rangers. The first like big budget Power Rangers thing I think that has ever happened.
Well, the first movie was kind of big. I mean, it was still small budget.
Big-ish. Yeah. But, like, no, this one's, like...
That was a real movie that came out. Yeah. 2017 one, yeah. So, basically, guys, what we're going to do here is we're going to cover some background information on Power Rangers. So, if you don't really know about Power Rangers, that's okay. We're going to cover... Again, most of it is nonsense. But we're going to try our best to get you caught up. We're going to cover the initial expectations that we had going in. And I think this time, this might be the most interesting initial expectation segment we've done, because we both have like stories about our experiences with this movie. We're gonna cover the plot for the most part, analyze the movie to the best of our ability, and we're gonna do keep or cancel, which is a segment where we talk about some people in the movie and we decide if we're gonna keep them or cancel them. It's like a joke, you right?
Yeah, like, you know, like cancel culture.
Yeah. So we're going to do a twofer. I didn't tell you this, by the way. This is news to you.
Whoa.
Austin St. John.
Okay.
And Amy Jo Johnson.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Jason and Kimberly.
Oh, spoiler. They're in this movie.
Sure. Yeah. And then last but not least, we will decide if this movie belongs in the Phantom Zone or not. Oh, and also, we're live on Twitch. We record all these episodes live on Twitch. So if you want to be a part of the show... hang out with us on Twitch on Monday nights at twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. We got a lot of our friends here. Demand Named John, Honey Badger, and Real Comic Book Talk are all here talking to us, feeding us information. They're going to fact check us as we go. So
probably.
Yeah, probably. The Power Rangers is... I could have made a list of all the things I said wrong last time, too. I just don't care, because you know what? You do better. Like, it's hard. This continuity is ridiculous.
Well, there's stuff that...
Oh, right back cosplay
was correct at one point and exactly. No longer is. Yeah.
Right back cosplay is here also. So we got a good little group.
Oh, nice.
Turbo Power Rangers movie is streaming on Hulu. So if you just want to watch that,
it's also on YouTube.
Come back to us. Is it really?
Somebody uploaded it to YouTube and it hasn't been taken down.
The first movie is on YouTube also. I didn't notice it last time.
It's just like a random upload from a random account. Yeah. So we might have just fucked them over.
Whoops. No, we didn't. All right, so let's get started. I think we covered all the shit. Background. Yeah, go ahead. Are you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say just a little bit about the Super Sentai that this was based on.
Well, before we get into Turbo, let's talk about Zeo.
Ooh, the predecessor to this.
Because here's the thing. This is around the time where Saban finally decides we're not making that much money anymore.
They're also not putting that much money into this, though.
I know. They're very greedy.
Yeah.
Toy sales were down. Merchandise was down. Viewership was down, right?
Time to change it up.
Right.
Power up for more.
Yeah. And I was watching a lot of the old episodes. I watched a little bit of every season leading up to this point, right? And you can tell, like, season two, remember last time we kind of thought that season two, because the Americans had to do more, that maybe the quality was better?
Yeah, because they had to do it was in-house.
Worse. Yeah, it was way worse. It was so bad. For some reason, like, the costumes, and I couldn't find anything on this. I tried doing research. The costumes were, like, lost, and they had to, like, tailor new ones.
But the new ones... they don't look as good.
They look like ass. I'm going to try to put up, like, a side-by-side of, like, especially Tommy. When he's the Green Ranger, he's got the shield on.
Yeah.
It looks like... your mom made it for Halloween.
Oh, no.
It doesn't look production quality anymore. Because the thing is, the Japanese, like the Toei production, would send the costumes over.
So they could film certain scenes within the context of Power Rangers.
Right,
and not
right.
Sentai.
With the same costumes. Yeah. I also learned that apparently when they started running out of footage, Saban ordered more footage. And like Toei just filmed it. So there is Japanese-made footage that was never in Super Sentai. It was made purposefully for Power Rangers.
That's wild.
Yeah. So
it seems like such a complicated way to make a show.
Yeah, of course. But the main problem is because they're trying to keep the continuity. They want to keep the same costumes and actors and Zords. Right. They ended up just finding horrible ways of redoing the Zords every season.
Here's
right?
the thing, though. It is kind of like, and I said this before, it is a little bit impressive that they kept continuity for like 7 seasons. Of, like, one continuous, like, storyline.
Yeah, but it is, like we said, it's like comic books.
Very messy, yeah.
Oh, dude, when they introduce the Thunder Zords, it's so bad.
The Thunder Zords were
season two.
Yeah.
Well, there was a bad guy. He freezes the Zords, and they're like, "We need new ones." And he's like, "I'm going to give you these Zords, but you got to get the first Zords first." So the new Zords were an amalgamation of both Zords. They were even called like by both names. And there was a
Dino Thunders. No, Dino Thunder's a different thing.
Yeah. It was like the Red Phoenix Pterodactyl Megazord.
Oh, what a name!
It was so stupid. But so they filmed a sequence where they had to use toys for props, like the actual toys that we bought. They used those instead of models.
Oh shit!
And you can tell because it looks bad. Where like the T-Rex would transform into the Red Dragon, for example. And then it was cut to the Red Bat. Thank you so much. But Tyrannosaurus Dragon Thunderbird Power.
Oh my god!
Thunderzord. It was shit like that. And then like you'd see the toy of the I'm gonna link all this below. You'd see the toy of the Red Dragon for like a shot, and then the next shot was the Japanese shot.
Which looked way amazing. Better. Yeah.
It looked so good. So just the disparity was enormous. So Saban figures the way we're gonna fix this is if we just do what they do, brand new Zords, brand new costumes every single season. Right. And then we won't have this problem.
Eventually ended up working out for them.
Well, no, it worked right off the bat with Zio. Zio was much more popular.
That's true. And Zio was pretty fucking cool.
And it provided them with new action figures, new costumes to sell, new Zords, obviously.
It also provided a cleaner way of moving the storyline forward, too. Although, this movie kind of makes something a little messy that I have a qualm with. And apparently a lot of fans do, too. And there's no definitive answer for
it. That's my biggest thing, too. We'll get to it.
Well, are we thinking about the same thing?
That's exactly what you're talking about. I've gone
deep. I even thought about this as a kid.
Like, I've gone deep undercover in the world of Power Rangers, okay? We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So the transition into Zio, though, story-wise, was super weird. Do you remember how it went?
Didn't the command center get, like, destroyed? And...
Yeah, but they found another one conveniently underground, the first one. Not even kidding.
I remember, like, the command center gets, like, attacked. Like, the bad guys presumably win. Because I remember the first episode of Zio was, like, them trying to get out of, like, the command center.
So, at the end of, like, season three, they all got turned into children?
Yes, that was Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers.
And then, so, Zordon calls on the Alien Rangers from a different planet to come and, like, help out.
Was it the Aquatar Rangers?
Something like that. Yeah, they were, like, aquatic in nature.
And they looked like ninjas, kind of.
Yeah, and it kind of provided them, because they were able to use footage from another season of Super Sentai that they never used, right?
Yeah.
It allowed them to kind of fill the gap. And there was like a 10-episode miniseason.
It also allowed them to not pay those actors for a little bit.
Of course. They had like a 10-episode miniseason of just like the Alien Rangers, which is insane.
Yeah. It was like a mini story arc.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool as hell when I was a kid.
I remember the toys and I was like, this is fucking weird.
Because they had their own Zords and everything.
Yeah. It was like a whole season of Power Rangers. Then like Kat grows up, or she never got turned into a kid. It was one of the two. She goes on a quest to like get the Zio crystals.
They all end up going on like their own quests, right?
Yeah, as children.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. They all individually get their Zio crystals.
Those are cool episodes, actually.
Okay. So the way I watch these, because I didn't watch them live, they put all this together in like a movie. It's called Zio Quest.
Oh.
And they took snippets of six different episodes and they turned it into a 90-minute movie. And that's how I watched
it. Is it edited pretty well?
Look, I haven't seen it since I was a kid. But it was one of my Power Rangers videos that I watched.
It was probably like a VHS that you bought.
Yeah. And I watched it on repeat all the time. So that's why I remember all this kind of Zio stuff.
The introduction to Zio is like burned into your mind.
Oh, yeah. And then they get the Zio crystals. They put them together, blah, blah, blah. They all get turned into adults.
The Yellow Ranger gives her power to another girl that she met.
And then Billy steps aside, too.
Yeah, he takes like the guy in the chair role in Zio.
Because there's only five Power Rangers and they're not gonna mix and match anymore, basically.
No, and the Sixth Ranger is always like the special one.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's gonna show up halfway through the season.
Right.
And that ended up being first of all, this weird alien character.
Yes. Trey of Triforia.
Yeah. Yeah. Who splits into three all the time.
Yeah, he's like a weird alien guy.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, not a special effect. They cast triplets.
Damn.
Because obviously, what are they going to spend money on a fucking special effect?
Let's find some triplets.
Yeah. So they get these triplets. Halfway through the season, he's like, I can't be here anymore. It goes away.
Well, the power's like killing him or something.
And then so Jason comes back and he becomes the Gold Ranger for a while. And then Trey comes back anyway.
Because apparently, I think the power was killing Jason too.
Yeah. And let's put a pin on that, because I think that might be the answer to all our qualms.
Well, it's, I know what you're talking about, and it is a fan theory that I read, but not confirmed.
The man named John got us, I don't know why I say that, John. John got us all the names, Mastodon Lion, Thunderzord, Pterodactyl, Firebird, Thunderzord, Triceratops, Unicorn.
Oh my god.
It's so
these are ridiculous names. Extreme.
They could have just been like, hey, we got new Zords.
Sabertooth Tiger, Griffin, Thunderzord.
Because again, the sequence is always they would show the T-Rex and the T-Rex turns into the Red Dragon.
I feel like on paper this was a lot cooler than it actually was.
The thing is, kids didn't give a shit.
No, I didn't give a shit as a kid.
They got new
I was like, yeah, more Power Rangers.
Yeah, they got new Zords. Big deal. Who cares?
Mom, Dad, buy me the toys.
But I think adults were like, yeah, but the T-Rex on the helmet doesn't match the Zord.
Well, just like when Tommy became the White Ranger, he was like an eagle or a falcon.
A white tiger.
I always say eagle or falcon.
The falcon.
I'm thinking about the sword.
No, you're thinking about the ninja. Zord was a falcon.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting them all like mixed
up. Yeah.
Still the White Ranger, but yeah, he was a white tiger while they were all dinosaurs.
Yeah, but you right. Because he was from season.
Super Sentai. Yeah.
They were mythical characters. Red Bat knows what I'm talking about, that the Tommy shield looks like a pillow. Yeah, I'm going to link that picture below. It looks really, really bad. And so you can tell which shots in season two were filmed in America by the costume. Which costumes look worse, basically.
If they look like shit, it's American.
Yeah.
Unless it was the movie, in which case they looked fucking great.
So making its way to this movie, they're basically thinking, let's continue this basically yearly reboot.
Yeah. Right?
However, they're still keeping the continuity. They're bringing in actors from previous seasons. What ended up happening inevitably was that actors kept on piecing out halfway through the season.
Well, what was happening with that apparently is like they wanted more money because they had been there for a while and Saban was like, nah.
Right. That's actually why Jason left. Or
Austin St. John.
Austin St. John. And by the way, you know, just guess what we're going to do Keep or Cancel, but guess what his real name is?
Is it Jason?
It's Jason.
What?
Yeah. Motherfucker was born Jason.
Holy shit. Okay.
And then when he got the role, it was like his first acting gig. He
wanted a stage name.
He got a stage name, yeah, and he came up with Austin St. John. But his real fucking name is Jason. So if I call him Jason on accident, it's fine.
That's his character, too, yeah. So I mean, it wouldn't...
Exactly.
It'd be a little confusing, but not really.
Anyway, they just need a reason, and this is how every first few episodes of every season goes. They need a reason to put them in new Zords and new costumes.
Yes.
And sky's the limit. Come up with whatever you want. And that's the premise of this film, right?
Turbo itself was based on the Super Sentai called, I'm going to butcher this, Gekiso Sentai Car Ranger.
You want to know something funny I learned about Japanese?
What?
Is that in the Japanese language, they don't like convert words that they... There's a word for this. But when you steal a word from another... language,
they keep it the same. So it literally says Car Ranger.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you go to Japan and you want to say something that is inherently English but something that they would understand, you don't have to worry about what's the translation for that,
because
you can just say
it. They probably use the English word.
Here's the worst part. You can say it in a Japanese accent and that's the fucking word.
That's like, that's so strange.
Whatever you think, and you probably think I'm gonna sound racist by like faking a Japanese accent, but that is,
and that's how they understand the word.
Like that is,
because instead of Car Ranger, it'd be like Car Ranger, something like that.
Sure,
I'm pretty sure that's exactly how they say. Well, not exactly how they say it, but that's how they say it. Because they don't say Ranger,
right? Yeah. Right. Actually, no one says hard R's. That's purely American.
So yeah, that Turbo was based on that Sentai, which was the 20th season of Super Sentai. That's crazy. That was like the 20th season for us. It was like season like 4.
Yeah.
But that specific season of Super Sentai was made as a parody season.
The Turbo one?
Yeah. So it was funny. Like a parody of Super Sentai. So that made a lot of difficulties for the Americans writing stories around that, because they would try to do like serious storylines, but then the monster you're fighting is like a giant pizza. Because all the footage they had to use was absolutely ridiculous. So... that has a lot to do with why Turbo as a whole is considered like the first bad Power Ranger series among fans.
Like,
a lot of people shit on this entire season.
When you get into like the meat of it.
Yeah, and also people don't like Justin.
Well, he was a bit annoying, wasn't he?
A little bit. I don't hate him, though. Oh, and this is just a fun fact about Turbo. It had 3 one-shot comics, but one of them was a crossover with Beetleborgs.
Yeah, we were discussing that on the Discord. Join the Discord, by the way. Because, who was it? Was it John? No, it was Philly? It was someone. Was like, hey, like, Beetleborgs?
Technically, it's not a...
Was that a different Discord? I might get...
Beetleborgs is technically not Power Rangers related, though. It's like, it was Saban trying to make another show out of another Japanese show.
Yeah, but there was slight crossover, right?
I don't think in the shows itself. I think just in the comic.
Oh. No. There's... Okay, it was a different Discord.
There's a character that shows up in...
They did crossover. Or they used...
I think they used just the Beetleborg. Same, like, suit.
No, but the same exact suits, though.
Yeah.
Like, you put them next to each other.
I don't think it was
the
Beetleborgs characters.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Because they use them as, like, enemy rangers in one of the seasons
or something. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Oh, look, John's got us with the,
oh,
the
he
comic
says,
book crossover.
Beetleborgs Metallics is one of 3 comic stories based on Power Rangers Turbo that were published in short-lived Saban Powerhouse magazines.
Well, yeah, those are my little Turbo fun facts.
I mean, that's basically all there is to it. Like, there's not much anymore.
No, and then, like, halfway through Turbo, the cast changes, and then that cast carries over into In Space.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the pattern that was happening, is that you would mostly carry over the cast, and so everybody was jumping in and out at random times.
Yeah.
And then later on, a few seasons down, when they actually start doing more hard reboots with new casts, then those cast members would mostly last the entire season because they start from beginning to end.
And then that's also where continuity becomes a little weird. Like, all right, is this in the same universe? Because it's all technically in the same continuity, but is it in the same universe?
Right.
Because there's different Power Ranger universes. Yeah. And that's if you're diving deep into the lore.
Lost Galaxy was still in continuity. It was like
was the last one that kept going in like that.
Yeah. Because it, like, happened...
Bulk and Skull was in it.
They were in it for I think, just the pilot, I think.
They didn't get on the...
No,
on I think Terra Venture?
I don't... Oh, that's what it was called. I don't think they get on Terra Venture.
I thought they did.
I think they were... I thought they were just in the
pilot. Or maybe they were trying to get on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were, like, the first 2 episodes, and then they don't get on. I rewatched it once.
Because they were, like, with some doctor guy. The guy that they're with throughout In Space.
I didn't watch In Space.
Oh. Damn.
Anyway, moving on. Initial expectations, Birdo, what's your backstory for this?
So
what's your experience with this movie?
This movie in particular is the first movie that I have any recollection of watching in theaters. Like,
that's insane. How do you, like, are you sure?
Yeah, I was living in Hawaii at the time.
I forgot. You fucking lived in Hawaii?
And I remember seeing this in a movie theater. Like, all the seats, it was dark, big screen, and I was like, wow.
How old were you, like 4?
What year was this, 97?
97.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It might be one of my earliest memories, actually.
I was a pretty good kid for taking in the movies, because I was very quiet.
Okay.
So I don't remember my first movie, I remember being taken to the movies a lot.
But because of that, this movie in particular has a very special place in my heart and my life, like just... I don't know. It's like a milestone for me.
I guess, yeah. What if they had taken you to a different movie that day?
Damn.
And then you just didn't like movies as a result of it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What if they took me to watch, I don't know what was out at the same time as this, 97? I have no idea.
Some other shit.
But yeah, no, this movie was like a core memory of my life.
Yeah. That's crazy. I was much older than you. So like I saw the first one in theaters. I remember that vividly. So I watched seasons 1-2, the movie. I watched that first movie like 100 times. I watched some of season 3. I watched the Zio Quest movie a ton. Okay. I watched some of Zero. And then I fell off because it was around this time, like I'm in like second or third grade and kids are getting made fun of for watching Power Rangers.
That's weird. In second or third grade?
Okay. As adults, we look at that and we're like, that's ridiculous.
You're still younger than what they're aiming at.
Exactly. Like you're still prime target audience. I think what it was is that it had been 2-3 years since peak Power Rangers, which is like season 1.
Okay.
So like, you know, if you're still a kid and you're liking the same thing you liked 3 years ago, you're like, oh, that's for babies. Even though it's not. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, I remember dropping off of
There's
Power
some
Rangers.
There's adult jokes in this movie. There's a few.
I can't remember. So remind me when we get there.
All right. Yeah.
Also, there's huge tits in this too.
Well, there's a
just like last
she,
time.
She talks about plastic surgery at the end.
Yeah, I was afraid of being bullied. I guess I kind of dropped off Power Rangers, and so again, I had seen some of Zeo though. So when this movie comes out and it's in fucking theaters, this is my chance to get back in because it's a new. There's no, you know, it's a slight continuity reset, right?
Okay.
And so, like, my parents were divorced, so like I would get certain days out of the week hanging out with my dad.
Right.
So we'd go to the movies a lot. And we're sitting at the movie theater, and there is the poster for Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. And I have this memory burned in. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. Because I want nothing more than to have a fun afternoon watching Power Rangers. But for whatever reason, all these outside influences have told me.
Oh, man, you got peer pressured.
Yeah, I'm too old to watch Power Rangers. But then again, I am in the comfort of there's nobody there.
You got bullied out of watching this movie?
Yeah. So, like, there's nobody there. It's just me and my dad. Like, I could go see this movie with my dad, and the kids at school are going to fucking know. I'm not going to get made fun of. And I'm sitting here going, again, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm telling my dad, I was like, he's like, hey, what movie do you want to watch? And I was like, well, you know, like, I don't know, like, we could watch Power Rangers, but I'm too old for Power Rangers.
And your dad was like, okay.
Yeah, my dad is overly pragmatic. So he's just like, okay, so we'll see what something else. What else do you want to watch? And I'm like, ugh, I don't know.
My dad would have been like, you're being ridiculous for watching Power
Rangers.
Yes,
and that's all I wanted my dad to do, and he failed me that day. Because he's just, again, my dad's like not an emotional person.
Right.
He's very pragmatic.
He's like, okay, so if you think you're too old for that, what would you rather watch?
Exactly. And he got so frustrated with me because we're sitting in front of the movie theaters for 10 minutes. And I'm going back and forth on like whether or not I want to admit to him that I want to watch Power Rangers.
He lose his patience and said, hey, we're watching Power Rangers, whatever.
No, I think he lost his patience and we didn't watch anything. I think we just did something else.
Oh, my God. You really shot yourself in the foot there.
I really did. But the thing is, and it's not his fault. He's overly pragmatic.
Right.
If it were me, I would have seen my kid and would have been like, you're being ridiculous. Power Rangers is not for little kids. It's for anyone who could enjoy it. It could be for big kids. It could be for kids of all ages.
Yeah.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I want to watch this movie. Let's go watch it. We're going to have a good afternoon.
If kids make fun of you, just say, my dad wanted to watch it.
Yes.
Bam.
Boom. We're going to be great parents. But like, again, it's not my dad's fault, but right. Like, that's what you should do as a parent, by the way, if you want to kind of like, if you think your kid, like I was 7 or something. Anyway. So
you were the prime age for that movie.
Yeah. And I never saw it.
That's crazy.
I had opportunities after this. When it came out on VHS, I could have just asked for the VHS. I had an allowance.
I had this on VHS.
I could have just gone and bought it. Because I was given allowances for, like, doing chores and shit.
Oh, okay.
How much could this have cost? $10 on VHS?
Probably.
$15?
$10, $15.
Yeah. Like, this movie always hung over me as, like, that one movie that I always wanted to watch but never did.
Whoa.
Until literally yesterday. That's the funny thing, too, is I own this movie. And it's been sitting on my...
You just haven't watched it.
And every time I look at it, I remember that story. And I'm like, I could have watched that and I didn't.
I could have watched that. Back in 97. Yeah.
And I'm always like, and I'm always wondering, like, I wonder what it's about. And I never put
well,
it on.
It's the pilot to the
right,
series.
Right, no, of course. But I'm like, I wonder what happens in it, you know? And so this has been...
Stuff that happens in this movie is kind of fucking insane.
This has been literally 25 years coming for me, is Whoa. Watching this movie. So big
Damn,
deal.
So...
Yeah.
Your expectations might have been a little higher than they should have been.
I mean, they weren't. Okay. But like, I knew what I was getting into.
Okay.
And you know what? And I had just binged like 8 episodes of the TV show.
Okay. So you're in the headspace of
yes.
like, it's campy.
Yeah.
It's going to be campy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. So you ready to get into this?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this movie. Plot. There's words on the screen, of course.
Yes.
So this is more of a Star Wars crawl, though. And by that, I mean it's literally a Star Wars crawl this time.
No, they literally did it. They toyed with it in the first movie.
Yeah.
They literally did it in this movie.
Yeah. On a distant planet lives a great wizard named Larigo. He is the keeper of the Golden Key, which unlocks the dimensional gateways of the universe. Larigo is hunted by Divatox, a wicked galactic pirate, who needs the wizard's power to release a terrible demon-like creature. Her plan is to join with him in a sinister marriage and bring forth a reign of terror on the galaxy. Larigo's only chance is to seek the help of powerful friends. But first, he must escape his planet and make his way to Earth.
I don't think this was a bad intro, though, even though they did like the open and crawl thing, which is usually not done well.
I thought that was pretty bad.
I don't know.
Can you... Okay, and here's one of my biggest problems with this movie.
It's setting the stage.
There's too many little elements. There's too many little plot elements.
I think that's what I liked about it as a kid.
It's Larigo and it's Divotox, and that would be fine if that was just that. There's Malagor. There's the key. There's the dimensional gateway. There's the island. There's the temple. There's the...
I mean, this is all part of the same plot,
The pit. There's the ship. There's too many things.
Too many key elements?
Yeah.
There's the keys.
It feels like a video game. Like, it's like I named all seven of the fucking temples you gotta do in Zelda. Yeah. You know? That's for a video game. That's not for a movie.
This movie would actually make a pretty cool video game, though, I think.
It'd make a better video game than a movie.
I don't think made a video game of this, but it would have been cool.
Larigo, a much more infantile and uglier puppet than the crawl led on, runs from Divotox's hunters. Cornered, Larigo teleports away. So to be clear, he looks like a troll doll. Do you remember the troll dolls from the
90s? Yeah, yeah.
That's what he looks like.
His hair looks better than a troll doll.
It's not sticking up. But yeah.
It's like down.
It's like brushed back. And that's still a troll
doll. Was this a Jim Henson puppet?
Oh, I have no idea. Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Because they're bad. These are bad puppets, I think, by the way. Yeah, so he's about 4 feet tall, head the size of a beach ball, big eyes, troll hair. He looks like a troll.
I mean, he did a good job saying, like, hey, this is an extraterrestrial being.
I just think they could have done an alien.
He was an alien.
Something more tangible than a troll doll come to life.
He made cute noises, though. He was like, ah.
Okay, you're already too forgiving, I think. Larigo was created by Steve Johnson's XFX Incorporated. Steve Johnson sounds familiar.
What else did Steve Johnson do?
Did he come from Star Wars? Or was those original Star Wars guys that just got together and they made a whole documentary of this on Disney Plus. They all met in a garage because they kind of knew each other from certain movies. Because of Star Wars, they ended up like cornering the entire special effects world. Yeah.
Is it Industrial Light and Magic?
Yeah. ILM, yeah. That's the company that they founded while they did that.
And they've been involved with, like, I feel like every fucking movie ever since.
ILM did a lot, yeah. And now since Disney owns them, they do all of Marvel, Star Wars.
And they're overworked, underpaid.
Oh, for sure. For sure. In a boxing ring, the three male Power Rangers train in martial arts. Tommy sparring with both Rocky and Adam. Rocky, frustrated with his lack of progress, back kicks his way off the ring and onto the concrete floor, injuring his back. Meanwhile, Catherine and Aisha chaperone a bus of elementary school kids on a field trip to the boxing ring, I guess. They arrive just in time to see Rocky put onto a stretcher by paramedics.
Why does Rocky suck?
Do you want to know the real reason?
Yeah, what happened with Steve Cardenas?
He wanted out, off. He wanted out of the show, so they wrote him out.
Okay, in a way like this.
And in a pretty bad way, I think.
Even as a kid, I was like, why is Rocky so stupid?
He just got frustrated real quick, and he does a backflip.
Maybe I'm not trying hard enough.
Yeah. There's no way you could accidentally backflip off a boxing ring. That's not happening. The ropes are pretty high.
He's a Power Ranger. He overexerted his powers, and maybe he fucking flew.
Also, like, they're all really good martial artists.
Couldn't the Zeo powers not heal his back?
Can Larigo not heal him, which is something I want to get into later.
Oh, they didn't take Larigo to him. They didn't even think about Rocky.
He was right there. He was right there.
They didn't give a shit.
Nope.
It's weird that they were taking a field trip to, like, a arena.
Where they're practicing.
Currently practicing.
That was weird.
But also, I think the field trip, is it a school field trip or is it a field trip for, like, that shelter that they're all at?
It's like an orphanage.
Yeah, it is like an orphanage because they talk about it later.
Briefly.
Very brief.
It's kind of confusing.
It's kind of an exposition dump real quick.
Yeah.
Mostly about Justin, but yeah.
Aboard a Barracuda submarine, we meet Divotox, another predictably scantily clad character.
Divotox. Yeah. You said Divotox.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Divotox. She cuts off her android nephew Elgar's hand while the camera closes in on her massive cleavage.
Yeah.
She reveals her plan. I mean, it did, though, right?
It did. They knew what they were doing.
It was uncomfortable. I mean, it's not that it's uncomfortable. It's just like, I know this is a kid's movie, so I'm like, what are you... Zoom it out. Come on. What are we doing
here? It's for older kids.
It's kind of like when you watch...
You would have loved this as a kid.
It's kind of like when they're watching sports, I know, seriously. There's always a camera guy whose one job it is to find the hot girls to cut to before commercials and stuff, reaction shots, that kind of thing. Yeah. They just kind of really like lingered on Diva Tox's boobs.
Here's the thing, though. I really like her character in this. It seemed like the actress was just having a fucking blast.
I don't like her character, but I agree with you. Yeah.
Like, she's just like chewing scenery.
Sure.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got confused, though. Oh, sorry. Let me finish this paragraph.
Oh, yeah.
She reveals her plan to use Larigo to unleash Malagor, whom she plans to wed. But first, she'll need two humans of purity and strength. So I was super confused by the crawl because I thought she wanted to marry Larigo.
Oh.
And so when they show Larigo and he's this little like...
You're like, oh, that's weird.
Ewok looking motherfucker. I'm like, what? What? What's happening here? No, she wants to marry Malagor, the demon creature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also like Elgar.
I had a very visceral reaction to him.
Really?
Yes.
When you looked at him?
Because...
He's very ugly.
I don't know.
He looks like a penis.
I don't like these puppets. Because, like, Power Rangers always had puppets.
Yeah.
But when you look at, like, Goldar, the fucking pig from the first movie.
I didn't like the pig.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The pig is bad. I take it back. So the other two characters that didn't make the cut for the movie, but they're in the TV show, they don't look like creatures that we could recognize that, like, whose mouths would move in a realistic way. So, like, the puppet works. Okay. You know? And, like, Goldar's mouth, that's someone's mouth.
Yeah.
He's kind of, like, moving it up and down, and that's it. But, like, it's a little bit more believable than this motherfucker, whose entire face is stitched. It's just, like, one big mask.
Yeah.
And it's, like, stitched permanently like that. And so he's got, like, this Joker smile the entire time. It's very uncomfortable to look at.
I like him.
Why?
I honestly think he's funny.
But
Some of the stuff he does in this movie is hilarious.
Okay, but that aside, what the fuck is he, though?
Oh, I don't know, like a penis monster?
But that's not, I don't know, like...
I think he came from the Sentai that this is based on, which is, again, it was like a parody one, so everything was fucking ridiculous looking.
Well, that makes sense if it's a parody of something.
Yeah.
But it's not a realistic looking creature.
No.
Like,
also, apparently that's her nephew? That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. So what the fuck is that all about? And it's not that
maybe
I
my
need...
marriage.
Okay. Oh, so she's widowed.
Oh, yikes.
Because she's in the market right here. It's not that I want like realistic looking creatures in Power Rangers. I want them to be based on something that maybe could exist.
Okay.
Like some sort of creature.
How'd you feel about the other guy?
The other guy was
blue
just
one?
Ridiculous. He looked like Cloyster of the Pokemon. You know what I mean?
I think she calls him an ugly Christmas ornament at some point.
Yeah. He's just like this big ball.
With really skinny legs.
None of this makes any sense.
I will say their design's not great, but I like them.
I just think they could have like put a guy in makeup. I don't know. Don't do this whole big mask that would only look plausible in a still image. Because again, he's got this big Joker smile.
And he's talking like this.
And like his little mouth is kind of moving, but it's not. It's just, I don't.
It's just not a good, it's not good puppet work.
It's very uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable in the slightest.
I was uneased. Alpha 5 and Zordon sense Larigo's arrival and worry for him as he cannot survive for very long on Earth. The little orphan boy, Justin, visits Rocky at the hospital, but hides when he hears the rest of the Power Rangers come in. There, he overhears the teens talk to Zordon and transport away, and discovers that they are the Power Rangers.
All right, this scene was both good and bad for me. It's weird that they're just, like, exposition dumping Justin's, like, bio here. They're like, oh, yeah, Justin, he just lost his mother, and now he's going to lose the shelter, too. Because I guess the future of the shelter
depends on this tournament. Yeah.
But him, like, overhearing their, like, conversation with Zordon, seeing him teleport away, I like that aspect of it. Like, him discovering.
Yeah, that's fine, I think. Because the last episode's kid was just too dumb to do so. Like, he's hanging out with these five teenagers.
What was his name again?
He's, like, a Frank or something. I already forgot.
Yeah, my dad sucks. He's a firefighter.
Yeah. I thought it's a little heavy-handed, though. Like, I get that the Power Rangers need to be doing good things.
Well, yeah, they're always doing good deeds.
They're raising money to save an orphanage. Like, that's... Come on. Dial it back.
Also, it's only $25,000. That's going to save the entire orphanage.
Why aren't more people donating? Why is it down why to the Power Rangers?
Why is the only way they're going to get any donation is by winning a martial arts tournament? Are people not donating to the charity?
No, but they'll go see a martial arts tournament.
You know what? Actually, you know what? That's kind of how real life works, too. That's why they do charity events like that. So I take that back. That's actually very realistic.
Where's his dad? They touch
on
it. He talks
about his dad later.
But it wasn't very clear.
His dad, I think, is in the Turbo series also.
Oh.
He works for like the equivalent of NASA.
Okay.
I think he's the one that actually sends the Rangers to space at the end.
Gotcha. And that leads into...
In space. Okay. Yeah. But I think his dad was missing for a little bit at some point.
It's like, just weird that his dad's missing.
He's got a weird parental situation.
Yeah. And he's staying at an orphanage.
Yeah. Poor Justin. Damn. I kind of feel bad for the kid.
Zordon sends Tommy and Kat to Africa to find Larigo, who's been meeting animals. Spent the whole budget on that line, probably, by the way. Adam and Aisha see Divitox's incoming ship on the radar, and Adam says, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Star Wars
reference. Bulk and Skull now work as security guards and are abducted by Divitox's ship. She, however, is disgusted by them and demands her minions find two other humans.
All right, on the Bulk and Skull thing, that scene where they're at the like the
baseball stadium,
that's like burned into my mind. Something about the mustard is just into my mind.
Do you think about it whenever you see mustard?
I think about it whenever I see mustard, whenever I see a hot dog. And I think that's why I put mustard and hot dogs together so closely in my head all the time.
It's why you hate on people for putting ketchup on hot dogs?
Yeah, because there was no ketchup in sight there. Also, this is kind of weird, but the mustard kind of looked good.
It looked fake.
It looked fake, but it looked good.
It was like yellow goo that they made, you know?
Something about it looked good. Like, when I was a kid and I saw him just, like, wipe his face with it and then take a bite of the hot dog, I'm like, I don't know why that looks like it would taste good.
I love that. He takes the hot dog and he's just like, it's covered on his boss's face, and he's like, let me just get a little bit of that. And he just smothers his hot dog on his boss's face and eats it. That's why Bulk and Skull are great characters.
And then their boss asks for napkins. He's like, already got them, sir.
And he walks away. Because they do stupid ass shit like that.
They do stupid shit like that.
I love that.
Also, when they get brought onto the submarine and you see them after they get abducted, there's just dry vomit on their shirts. It's not mentioned or anything. It's just there.
Isn't that from the mustard?
It was like green, and it was on both of their faces or both of their shirts. I think they threw up.
They cut out a lot. Apparently, this movie, did. The first cut was like over 2 hours. And I mean, and that was to be expected.
Right.
But when you start cutting and not realizing what you're doing, and you don't have the money for reshoots.
Apparently, something that was cut was some important plot stuff, too.
Probably, no doubt.
Yeah. Like, concerning, I think, what we have issue with plot-wise.
Oh, I would love to know.
I think something related to that got cut, okay. According to Johnny Yong Bosch, the guy that plays Adam.
Okay.
Who is very involved with, like, Power Rangers still.
That's awesome. Yeah, we talked about him last time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Africa, an enormous python nears Kat, and she jumps away off a cliff. Holding onto a branch, she falls down and activates her Neo powers just in time to survive the fall, but not fast enough to protect her leg from injury. Tommy follows her heroically, and the two survive the rapids. They finally find Larigo befriending a family of chimpanzees. He notices Kat's leg and instantly heals it.
Do we know for sure why like the morph failed, though?
So, watching it, and because I was looking for this, because I had read about it, that this is the only, there was only one reference to Zeo at all, and it's this.
Right, when she morphs for like a split second, but like as soon as she hits the water, it like fizzles out.
So if you look at it really, really closely, the morphing sequence starts up and goes down.
Right.
And it didn't catch up to her leg before she made impact.
And she fell in a way that was not good. She wasn't going to break the water before she hit it or anything.
Right.
But also, Tommy just dove straight.
Well, he's a hero. He's the best. So he just died. And he doesn't transform.
So I guess because she got hurt while morphing, it just kind of like broke out of it.
Right. And so we're dancing around the subject, but our biggest issue with this is that they, unlike every other, at least for the first like 6 or 7 seasons of Power Rangers, there is no rationale as to why they're switching powers.
Yes. So what the fuck happened to the Zeo powers? Because at the beginning
they still have them.
At the beginning of Zeo, Zordon says this is like the most powerful thing.
And that's the problem. They shouldn't have done that. Because they keep scaling up the power, right?
Yeah, but you can't scale it up after you said this is
No, right. I'm talking about seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah, right.
They're like, oh, you need more powerful Zords.
Yeah.
Zords. You need to go get this other power. That's what you need to beat this specific villain.
The rationale in this movie was like, well, the turbo powers are the only things that'll get you through like this triangle.
Right.
That was their only rationale for
it. But then why not just go back to Zeo then? If Zeo's like the most powerful, it's like, it's like there's the ultimate power.
There's fan theories on it because this is discussed actually a lot.
Right. And so the problem with this movie is they spend the whole movie without mentioning why they're just not Zeo Rangers.
And apparently that was cut.
There are scenes where they could
morph.
They could just really benefit from morphing, right?
Right.
Here among one of them, like, you see the snake? Morph.
Like, kick that snake's ass.
I would be a Power Ranger all the fucking time. I wouldn't even be a human.
Well, do you want to know what like the biggest fan theory that I read about that is?
The biggest fan theory is that the Zeo crystals like damage them. Like,
because it's too powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish they would just like say that. Because
it makes sense.
But my point is, if you keep on scaling the power up, then you know you're going to get to this point where you're going to reboot every season. So how are you going to explain that away when you call this like the ultimate power?
The most rational explanation as to why they moved from Zeo to Turbo would be the Turbo powers are safer to use.
Yes. They should have just said that.
And also you're not fighting the Machine Empire anymore, so you don't need them.
Right.
So there you go. I fixed it. But they didn't do that.
Hooray.
And there's even elements of that in Zeo with like with the Gold Rangers powers where it was killing them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they could have just a throwaway line would have cleared everything up there.
And they've gone back to Zeo a few times. Like in like crossovers
once or twice,
stuff.
Though, yeah.
So I watched it's a newer scene with Tommy and he morphs into all of his different Power Ranger iterations, except for Turbo, actually. He didn't do this one. He did Zeo.
He did Turbo, yeah.
And he did
was it while
Green
he was
and White.
Fighting
and
his
robot.
The robot Black Dino Thunder Ranger.
Thunder,
yeah. That was, I think, it was a very recent season. It was maybe like last year or the year before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he morphed into all of them. And I think even like the Dino fucking robot villain. who's impersonating him. Classic. You're fighting a robot that looks just like you.
Yeah. They just wanted to use the suit again.
Right. He was just like, it's been years since you used the Zeo transformation. Like, you're no good in it or whatever.
So they keep alluding to the fact that, like,
yeah,
these Zeo powers are dangerous, but they don't actually say it.
Right, exactly. We haven't read the comics.
No, I need to.
And they're in the comics, too. They touch upon
Zeo.
Zeo
powers.
I would love it if, like, Zeo is, like, a Super Saiyan, like, a dangerous ultimate power that they can only tap into for a little bit.
I was hoping the newer movies were going to touch into that because the plot of the newer movies is about the Zeo crystal.
You mean the 2017 one?
Yeah. That's what they're trying to pull out of the earth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was really hoping to get something there, but that ain't happening. And we'll get to that, but...
Damn!
I know.
Oh, shit. Now I'm pissed. Yeah, so here, the fucking, just don't fucking waddle around the fucking jungle, but just be Power Rangers. But sure, okay.
I did like their little, I like their backpacks. Their emergency supply things.
They had little.
Like a thermos just like pops out of it with water.
That thermos was like 4 ounces.
It wasn't a lot. But I always thought the concept of that was really cool.
They had flamethrowers in there. That was cut.
Oh.
There was a flamethrower scene.
Man.
I have I'll link it below. There's a shot of it.
Right.
Of her, like, just like...
Because we see Adam with his green one later on in the movie, too. And he pulls out the binoculars, which look like fucking micro binoculars from Star Wars. Is it macro binoculars or micro binoculars?
I don't know. I thought they're called, like...
Binox.
Something like
macro
that.
Macro something. I don't know.
Diva Tox's minions capture two more humans scuba diving and reveal that she's been holding Larigo's wife and child hostage.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, especially the little puppet.
The little baby.
Yeah. Back at the command center, Larigo receives a telepathic message from his family, which Diva Tox uses to communicate with the Rangers and Zordon to make her demands. She also reveals her two prisoners, former Power Rangers Jason and Kimberly. They're joined by Bulk and Skull, who have been brainwashed and forgotten their identities and natural accents.
They're just different people now.
They think they're one thing's...
One thing
one's
Spanish?
French and one's German or something?
I thought they were speaking Spanish at some point.
I don't really recall. I thought one of them thinks he's German.
Yes. Who is this Bulk and Skull?
Did you hear, by the way, their names are like, have Bulk and Skull in them?
Because his boss calls him by like their full names.
Something I know. Skull is Skullovich.
Yeah.
Is it Bulkmeister?
Something. It's something stupid. Something I don't know. I'm not about to look it up.
Yeah. But I love Bulk and Skull. Anytime we get them, they're great.
This should have been more of a subplot. Bulk and Skull. They mostly take a sideline.
They are in this movie more than the Mighty Morphin movie.
Ever so slightly.
Slightly, yeah. But they are.
But I would have taken...
But also, like, they're not themselves. So, yeah.
Sure. No. But I would have taken, like, two more scenes. Some subplot where they're doing these fucking accents. Well, or maybe they keep on, like, changing accents.
Well, here's the wild thing. Bulk and Skull had an underwater filming scene.
Oh, yeah.
They did some stunt work.
Yeah.
Not like the last movie where they got to fuck off the entire time. The Rangers take Larrigo to negotiate with Divatox's jet ski riding minions, but Larrigo willingly surrenders. As agreed, Divatox releases Jason and Kimberly. Tommy and Adam swim out to rescue them, but they're just dummies. Divatox tricked them and kept both Power Ranger alumni.
Something about this scene feels like it's from like an adult movie.
Because it's very dark.
It's literally dark and also like...
They're doing
it's a whole hostage exchange.
Negotiation,
and
yeah.
And then they throw the bodies in the water. I'm just like, what the... This is weird.
It took a turn, right? Yeah, it was a little jarring, yeah.
A little bit. As a kid, I thought that, and even rewatching it now, I'm just like, God, something about this scene's just like...
We like hopped to a different movie.
Yeah. Not against it, but like...
Apparently, these jet skis were loaned, so they couldn't alter them in any way. They couldn't make them look like alien
jet
skis.
That's why they're literally just jet skis.
Well, so what they ended up doing, because they couldn't like paint them or build onto them or anything like that.
Right.
They had a seamstress create like fabric covers and costumes
to like put over it.
To put over the
but
jet skis,
it's
yeah.
still very clearly just jet skis.
No, of course.
Yeah.
But they're like alien looking jet skis.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
That might be why the scene was also dark.
Maybe.
Maybe to cover it up. But also like...
Who cares?
It was also very tonally dark, so...
Right. The Rangers design new Zords for some reason. Again, we
talked about our qualms with
yeah.
this.
Yeah. That appear as regular cars. Zordon provides them new morphers to go with the new Zords. They initiate a new transformation sequence into the Turbo Rangers, and Zordon sends them to find the Ghost Galleon, a phantom ship, to take them through the Nemesis Triangle. See, it's too many things.
Just use the real-life location of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Is it, like, copyright?
No, not at all. It's a legend. Alpha 5 tells them they must merge their turbo keys the moment they reach the triangle in order to pass through it. Due to Rocky's absence, the Blue Zord stays behind.
So, as much as we don't like the way they transition them to the turbo powers, I did like the transformation scene around the table, though, where they all just, like, morph at the same time.
That was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. There, it was, like, kind of epic looking.
Aesthetically, I really like the turbo stuff.
Yeah, it looks really cool, the fact that it's, like, a key that you go put in and turn.
Yeah. I like that they're cars. I like that they have a lot of chrome.
I also like the way the Megazord fits together, but we'll get to that later.
It fits together until it doesn't.
I had that toy, though, and honestly, that was pretty true to the toy.
Okay. I wanted that toy so badly.
It was a cool Megazord to
because
build.
I had other Megazords.
This is the one that was the closest to like a Transformer.
Yeah, because that one was cars. And I liked cars a lot as a kid, and I liked toy cars.
I always thought Tommy's car was cool as fuck. Red Thunder? Yeah.
Yeah.
The race car.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to watch Turbo so bad, because it was combining so many aesthetics that I really liked. I like that they have chrome on their helmets.
I like how they have the headlamps.
They got the little lights.
I don't think they ever use them in the show. I think the movie's the only time. I think it was a higher quality helmet for the movie, though.
Why wouldn't they just use the same one?
I don't know. But like, it had like actual flashlights on it.
Yeah,
they might have used it in the show. It's been a long time since I've watched it, but...
Well, here's something that I don't like. I don't really like that Rocky gets sidelined the entire movie.
Because he wanted out?
I think they could have written something better to get him
maybe
out.
Have him retire after the movie.
Well, no, he didn't want to. I guess
he didn't really want to do the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's in like two scenes.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, though. I always thought Rocky was kind of a bitch.
Maybe. You're Team Adam.
Right? I'm definitely Team Adam, yeah.
I think Rocky's all right.
Out of the newer Rangers, I thought Adam was way better than Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah. Tommy still has them both beat, obviously. But
obviously. In the desert, the four Turbo Rangers drive their new Zords, accompanied by a new rock anthem. The Rangers reach the Ghost Galleon, and the Blue Rangers Zord pulls up. It's Justin, the fucking child. Rocky apparently sent him in his stead, and Alpha 5 somehow taught him to drive in minutes.
I mean, we see short little clips of, like, a Blue Ranger doing something, like, at the command center, but I also love when he goes, guys, I'm the new Blue Ranger, and all of them are like, the fuck you are.
Yeah, you're 11. This is ridiculous. And I think, I don't know, I can't speak for all audience members, but, like, I also think it was ridiculous. I didn't like Justin being a Power Ranger one bit.
No. Also, I think you said the Yellow Ranger earlier was Aisha. It's actually Tanya. Aisha was the Yellow Ranger in the last one. She gave her powers to Tanya in the Zeo transformation.
Oh, sorry. This is Tanya?
Yeah, this is Tanya.
Whoops. Sorry.
But, like, specifically just, like, her face. Her face when Justin says something to the Blue Ranger, it's like, like, what? Like, she looks displeased.
I'm kind of torn on this because on the one hand, I think it's interesting to have a child as a member of the team. He has Shazam powers now, right? Like, he's a child.
It's basically Shazam rules, yeah.
Yeah, and he can transform into an adult.
But he keeps the child voice when he's a ranger. That's weird.
It was weird to see an adult running around. And
yeah,
he's,
guys!
Yeah, and he's jumping up and down in excitement. Also, he's stupid. He makes bad decisions because he's a child.
Right. All that stuff is good. If they would have just changed his voice while morphed, I think that would have eliminated a lot of issues with this.
I think if they had...
Like, still have him act like a child, but be the adult. Like Shazam.
Right.
Yeah.
I think if they had, I don't know, found a better excuse to get him in there and Rocky out. Because, and we mentioned this, there's a scene where you meet Larigo, and he sees Cat's leg in a tourniquet.
And he fixes it. Makeshift tourniquet, too.
Right. If you're the audience, you're looking at this, and you're like, oh, okay, there's another character that's injured. This is how they're going to resolve that problem, right? And then they take Larigo back to Angel Grove, mirrored down the street from the
just
hospital.
Take him to the, or bring Rocky to the command center.
Exactly. And at no point do any of these people
Rocky
think...
Rocky could teleport there, and he still has his Zeomorpher.
Yeah. Should we go get our best fucking friend?
Nah, Rocky fucking sucks.
And should we heal his back that's, like, destroyed? Like, that man could never do... Like,
Power Rangering.
Yeah, there's a possibility he's never going to do, like, martial arts again. He could have, like, really did damage to his back.
Him.
I mean, they said he's going to do a full recovery, but, like, in the meantime, you met a fucking wizard who can heal someone. Like, that right there is just bad writing, because you write yourself a problem, but then separately...
They just shouldn't have done the healing thing, then.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Separately, you wrote yourself a fix to that problem.
But then you'd have Cat.
But then you don't combine
the
them. No, you just don't injure Cat.
Or just have it to where, you know, oh, the turbo power has healed you.
I don't know. I don't like this at all.
Poor Rocky, but also Rocky sucks.
But on the point of Justin, I just feel like it seems like it's like a very studio decision, thinking, you know what kids like? If we put a kid to be a Power Ranger, because kids want to be Power Rangers. No, they don't. They don't want to be kids as Power Rangers. They want to be grown adults as Power Rangers.
Which, again, they sort of did, but, like, not all the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Five teenagers. That's what kids want to see. Kids don't want to see another 11-year-old as a Power Ranger. No, fuck that. 11-year-olds hate 11-year-olds. They want to be 18-year-olds.
Well, yeah, poor Blake Foster, who played Justin, apparently got, like, bullied for being in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, similar to, like, the Jake Lloyd thing, but I don't think it's as bad as Jake Lloyd. I think Lloyd got, like, raked through the coals.
Right. I feel for this kid because, like, apparently, like, he knew some martial arts and they found him and they're like, hey,
yeah,
do you want to be a Power Ranger? And he was like, are you fucking
yeah,
kidding
I
me?
Do.
Yeah, of course. And he's obviously super enthusiastic.
Right.
And he got to be in, like, the show after this. And it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's nice. I just think it was poorly
handled. It was
executed
poorly. Red Bat had a suggestion for what they could have done.
He says, I feel like they could have had Justin do all the legwork, bring the Zordon key, then Rocky back for the final battle. Justin could have just been the Jimmy Olsen of this movie.
And then maybe at the end have Rocky be like, you know what? You deserve to be a Ranger.
I mean, maybe.
I'm done.
I get that they're trying to set up an entire season and that Rocky's on his way out. I just think it was...
Because at the beginning, it's like,
anything
obviously
else.
Justin's already the Blue Ranger at the beginning of Turbo. So
yeah, just anything else. Aboard the Ghost Galleon, the team find a chest with five keyholes, naturally. So they insert their key morphers and the ship readies itself. The sails rise, the bell rings, and the compass moves. Just to be clear, this is like a 19th century ship.
Yeah.
Like what you would see in Pirates of the Caribbean.
The aesthetic's very cool. It looks very much like a ghost ship.
I just think it's weird that we're doing like future car aesthetic, and then that's...
And then we're going to drive up to the dock and put our cars below deck of a pirate ship.
Of like an 1850s pirate ship, yeah. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
No, this is where I think the movie starts going fucking crazy.
It's just doing a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
This ship is a replica of the Pilgrim, which is a ship that was made famous in 2 years before The Mast, which is a book.
Okay.
But this replica is moored. It sits in California. It's used for like sailing lessons and shit, but it doesn't actually go out.
It's just like, so you know how to like, what to do on a ship?
Yeah. It just sits there though.
Okay.
And it was used in two movies, actually. This and Steven Spielberg's Amistad.
Ooh, that's dark.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Holy shit. That.
The Matthew McConaughey and
God.
Well, what's his name?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Thank you. Oh, wow, and Anthony Hopkins. He's in that movie too.
That's a dark piece of trivia though.
Yeah. That movie, it's like Academy Award winning.
No, it's a great movie. It's just the Power Rangers are hanging out in the Amistad.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Ooh.
On the ship, Cat finds Justin by himself on the main deck. He's both excited to be a Power Ranger, but disappointed that his missing dad isn't around to see his accomplishment. Cat tries cheering him up and leaves him, just as Divatox's sea monsters attack. The team fight the monsters on the ship.
All right. Leading up to the monsters like attacking them, it was a little creepy.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminded me of the scene in Aquaman with the sea creatures.
Yeah.
Like the really cool visual scene.
Yeah, that served no other purpose in that movie.
Than just to look cool. Yeah.
But no, like when you see like Justin just like kind of like looking out at nothing and then like the monster like slowly creeping up on him. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember, like, was I scared of this as a kid?
I feel like there's a better movie in here.
I feel like I was like, look out!
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of good elements of stuff in here. Yeah. Like, this is like good, like, children's horror, almost. Because even like the eggs that they hatch from it, it's very like creepy. Reminds me of like some Lovecraft stuff, or even like the Xenomorphs a little bit.
Yeah,
like that gooey egg sac that they come with.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
In the submarine, Jason and Kimberly, who were planning on surprising the Rangers to help with the fundraiser, plan to pop off a hatch as soon as they get to 100 feet depth, just enough to swim up in one breath. This creates a problem though, because the water starts bursting in. Both Divatox and the Rangers approach the Nemesis Triangle.
And this isn't realistic at all, though.
What the fuck were they thinking? They were like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bust this thing open. It's going to flood, but we'll do it when we're close. Because Jason's got a little, like, depth.
I get the logic he was thinking.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, so let's prep it. And then they open it, and he's like, oh, no, what did we do?
Why would you prep it when you're 400 feet he's down?
Like, we're in some serious trouble. Like, this is your fault. You just caused this. What are you doing?
I actually asked a friend about this, and he was in the Navy. He said, like, if he tried to do that, the door would just fucking go flying in, and it'd be like an explosion.
Right, yeah.
Everybody in there is dead if you do that.
It's an insane amount of pressure.
Yeah. I get his logic, though, about, like the whole waiting till, like, you can actually get out in one breath. That's smart. What's not smart is, hey, we're 400 feet below sea level. Let's crank this baby open.
Let's just prep it. Let's just get it ready for when we finally.
And then it floods. It
also, did they forget that Bulk and Skull is like next door?
They were gonna kill them.
Like, they're gonna drown if you didn't have a plan.
If you don't, yeah.
Divatox and her massive tits force Larigo. Yeah.
Love them.
To open the gateway using the golden key. By the way, there's a shot where like she's like leaning forward and it's just egregious.
Yep.
It is excessive, but it's for the dads, I guess. I should have taken my dad.
Your dad would have loved that.
He would have loved it.
He would have been like, I like her.
He would have been like, this is real father-son bonding. And he would have pat me on the back. Thanks to Jason and Kimberly, the submarine starts taking in water. The former Power Rangers try to stop the leak and seemingly forget about Bulk and Skull in the next chamber. They're drowning. The Rangers try linking their keys to enter the triangle, but Justin drops his under a barrel. Probably because he's 11 years old and should have never been put in this situation. Well,
to be fair, a loose, kind of big-looking barrel just kind of went flying and hit him.
All the other adults are fine.
Also, the adults didn't help him reach for the key, and his arms are so short, he can't reach it.
We think he'd be able to...
somebody help him!
You think he'd be able to wiggle his way in there? He picks up the key, and the Rangers successfully enter the Nemesis Triangle. Also, dude, Jason and Kimberly not think it's a huge fucking coincidence that they get captured randomly, and the other two prisoners are Bulk and Skull.
And they're just like, oh, something's weird about those guys.
Yeah, something's off.
I think there's also, like, a stoner joke in that sequence, too, because they mentioned something about, like, munchies. And then Bulk goes, munchies? And then he, like, does, like, a smile and does, like, the sound effect.
Oh, okay. But they're always hungry, aren't they? Like, that's kind of a running gag.
It's either, like, a I'm hungry joke or an I'm high joke.
Jason and Kimberly finally open the hatch, but first go back to let Bulk and Skull out of their chamber.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, shit, they're there.
Right.
And they're drowning.
Yeah. The four try to swim out, but Jason gets caught back inside. The water drains from the prison chamber, and Jason is back where he started.
So when the hatch starts closing and Jason's, like, still there underwater, that freaked me out.
Oh, really? Just like now or as a kid?
Even now, like, just, like, that situation.
Yeah.
Tight space, you're underwater.
Yeah.
Something's closing on you. Fuck that.
No, fuck all that.
Fuck that.
That shit sounds so scary.
And then when Kimberly got stuck for a second, I was just like, you're wasting so much breath trying to struggle. Like,
I was like, she needs to go back, get a breath before she does.
But then she wouldn't have made it out.
Yeah.
Were they even at 100 feet at that point?
Probably not. I mean, who knows?
I mean, they made it up, but still.
Both the Rangers and Divatox make it to the lost island of Maranthius, where Zordon says Malagor's volcano is inside the Serpent's Temple. Too many things. This is ridiculous.
I like how all this stuff just exists, though.
Too many plot elements.
It feels like a very lived-in universe.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
It's Larigo. It's the Golden Key. The other keys. The Triangle. The Lost Island.
There's a tribe here.
The Serpent's Temple. Like, that one's not even necessary.
There's a tribe here that worships Malagor.
Yeah.
Malagor.
Apparently the Serpent's Temple, because they mentioned it, it's a deleted scene. They cut that out. They went through
room. They cut out a lot of important things.
Yeah, they went through a room with a bunch of snake statues.
That's cool.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
Wow.
Larigo gets weaker as time passes, so Divatox keeps whining melodramatically. All she does is whine.
I kind of love it, though.
I really hate it. She calls Rita Repulsa on the phone, looking for advice on how to get rid of the approaching Power Rangers. Rita, sleeping in her full witch costume, tells her, it's got a big, my problem, it's got a big neck piece, and I'm like, how are you laying down? Yeah. She tells her that if she knew how to do that, she wouldn't be stuck sleeping next to a snoring Lord Zedd.
I wouldn't be stuck sleeping next to this.
And he's got a little mask on.
Yep.
Because again,
I like this little gag.
It was a fun cameo. I'll give you that for sure. Because I don't think we had seen him in like at least a season or something.
Yeah. Oh, there was a funny part that what's his name? Elgar.
Elgar, the nephew.
Yeah. When the submarine starts taking on water, he's like on the phone with somebody, and he goes, "Oh, the ship's sinking. Gotta go." He just hangs up the phone. I'm like, who the hell is he talking to? And he's so, like, chipper about it, too.
Yeah. It was like Goldar. He's just talking to their minions, right?
Like, he's just in the middle of a conversation. Ship sinking, gotta go.
God. Kimberly washes up on shore alone, close up on her butt.
Oh, that was a lingering shot on her butt.
Yes, it was. I was like, we're here for a long time. We're just sitting on this. And she is found by the natives, who also chase Bulk and Skull through the island. Adam leaves the ship and then his Desert Storm Zord to scout the area. From a good vantage point, he witnesses the two torpedoes destroy the ship and assumes the worst. Just then, the Turbo Zords drive out safely.
They telegraph that they're going to be fine. They're like, oh, we got to get in those Zords before they blow up.
Of course.
But poor Adam, he's probably like, oh, my friends!
Everyone's dead but me! It's up to me to save the world now.
By myself. Adam could do it.
I'd watch that movie.
It's like The Last Ronin, but it's Adam.
Yeah. Divatox's crew arrive with Jason and Larigo as prisoners. They're met by the natives and Kimberly as their prisoner. Divatox explains that they are the Malakaians, the guardians of Malagor and his worshippers. She has Larigo use his magic to open a temple door. Following closely behind, all five rangers morph, which turns Justin into an adult.
With a child's voice.
Yep. And he's making very poor decisions.
I'll lead the way, guys.
He's like, wait, no, don't do that.
Sprints into the temple. He's a kid, though. I get it. But, like, come on, man.
Part of me wants to watch some Turbo episodes and, like, see, like...
The Turbo finale is very good.
Really?
The one that leads into space. Space. It's kind of dark, though.
Like, I want to know,
Rangers,
like,
lose.
What's their, what's the relationship? You know, like, what's...
Do they like Justin?
Yeah, what's the vibe? Does he do more of this bullshit?
Turbo is a weird season, though. And a lot of it's because of the Sentai that they chose to use.
Right. Inside the temple, Jason and Kimberly are hung over a lava pit, a.k.a. the Pit of Eternal Flame. Again, too many things. As Malagorza's sacrifices. The Turbo Rangers arrive to the party and fight her foot soldiers. Suddenly, Kimberly and Jason's eyes turn red and they break out of their shackles. Possessed by Malagor, evil and super strong, they attack the Power Rangers. Tommy takes off his helmet to get Kimberly to recognize him, but Jason attacks. Their fight leads them to the pit where Jason holds Tommy in a chokehold over the lava.
Now I'm the one with the muscles.
Yeah. Larigo uses his magic to snap Kimberly out of the spell. Tommy kicks Jason into the pit, but quickly catches him. Is that a line from, like, season one or something about the muscles and the power?
I don't know. Or maybe it's just like a, like, maybe Jason's always been jealous of Tommy.
Well, right. But my interpretation of that is that that is something that some sort of Tommy said to him.
Throwback. I could actually see that being a thing.
I feel like I couldn't
confirm that, but.
Yeah, I feel like I saw something about that and then I forgot about it and then I didn't know where to look it up. But
yeah.
Reminder that, you know, at one point Tommy was evil, possessed.
Yeah.
Fighting Jason. Now it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Austin St. John didn't want to do this movie unless they turned him evil for at least a scene.
Really?
Because he thought that'd be more interesting. Yeah.
He was right.
And that's why they wrote this. And...
Yeah. I do got to say, though, having Kimberly and Jason come to this movie was kind of like a big, like, hype moment.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Because you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's the original Red and Pink Rangers.
Yeah, these are OGs.
Yeah.
And again, like, Jason hadn't been gone for that long. He was...
No, at this point, it hadn't been that long. He was just a Gold Ranger.
Yeah, he was in half of Zero.
Yeah.
So...
But Kimberly coming back was cool, because she had been gone since Mighty Morphin.
Right.
Like, since season three of Mighty Morphin.
Halfway through... Oh, I'm getting there.
I love Evil Kimberly.
I'm getting there. Halfway through season 3, where she turned it over to Kat.
Yeah.
Who originally was also, like, an evil... puppet of Rita. Yeah, it was like a two three episode thing.
Yeah.
Can we talk about evil Kimberly? Because, oh my god.
She's very breathy when she talks.
So hot. Like, Kimberly's already hot. We're talking about Kimberly.
She's
and
my
you know
first
she's
crush
hot.
Ever.
Definitely first crush ever. Yeah. Yes.
She was hot.
I feel like I need to be part of this episode.
You didn't watch the movie.
I'm a Power Rangers girl.
Well,
she can maybe put her in the next one.
Do you remember that Kimberly gets turned evil? So you don't...
When she becomes jealous and there's like an evil plant involved?
I think that was an episode, yeah, but...
No, her eyes turn red. She goes evil for a minute.
Because she got sacrificed into a lava pit.
Right. Anyway, she gets super hot.
Yeah.
And
the red eyes are hot, too.
Oh, my God. It's very sexy, is all I'm saying.
Something about the way she's carrying herself.
Yeah, it's...
I want evil Kimberly.
I'm probably going to watch that scene again. That's right. I said
it. I'm right here.
Yeah.
You'll probably like it, too.
Yeah, deal with it.
I'm going to look it up now.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not weird because she was like 28 in this movie.
It's not weird. It wasn't ever weird.
No, I'm just saying.
She was always older than us.
She always looks young. No, but I'm saying, like, she always looked younger. She's one of the older Power Rangers.
Originally.
She's 4 years older than Jason.
Oh, wow. She even now still looks good for her age.
She's 52.
She looks good for 52.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll talk about her and keep her cancel.
Yeah.
Anyway, hot.
Hot.
Also, someone says, I think it's Elgar, the fucking weird looking one. He says, I love it when a plan comes together. It's an A-Team reference.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of little catchphrase references
also,
here.
When evil Jason's like being evil and stuff, it's funny because he's still wearing like his swim trunks.
Yeah. In lieu of a sacrifice without Kimberly and Jason, Divatox throws her nephew Elgar down the pit.
So fucked up, man.
He survives, though. He's in the show.
I think he's in the show, yeah. But she's just like...
She hates him. I hate him, too. I honestly, I was on her side. Malagor is released and revealed to be a giant lava monster, which repulses Divatox.
I love her face here when she sees him. She's like,
Oh, no. My plan was good, but he's hideous.
The other guy, like the blue guy's like, talk to him.
Yeah. The Rangers show off their new weapons to fight Malagor and lead the fight outside in order to use their Zords. Malagor obviously makes himself huge, so the Rangers initiate the Turbo Megazords. The individual cars first grow 10 times larger and then combine.
I love you see the car driving.
Yeah. The Megazord, which looks nothing like the individual Zords, fight Malagor and knock him off a cliff, cueing a big explosion. The Megazord picks up Kimberly, Jason, Bulk Skull, Larigo, and his family and taking them to safety. So when I was a kid, I remember seeing this and thinking, oh, smart enough to know, the Megazords are like 200 feet tall usually.
Yeah.
Like they take up huge. Like 10, 12 stories, right? But a car is pretty small. And five cars put together is not about to be that tall.
That's why the car has turned giant.
Exactly. And in my entire life, I've been, you know, I've never seen this movie, but I've always wanted to.
You thought it was a little car
set. I was like, how does this add up? Why is this the smallest Megazord of all time? And again, maybe it's because it is based on a fucking parody that like the cars individually first have to grow 10 times.
They have to grow and then like break apart. I think the pink car like literally breaks apart, right? It becomes like one of the arms.
Something like that, yeah. You like the transformation?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it, like, it looked cool seeing all the pieces just kind of, like, go together and stuff. And I thought the Zord looked really cool. And then it turned into, like, the other Zord real quick. I'm like, now it doesn't look that good.
Yeah, I think that's my problem. Is that they worked really hard on getting all of the mechanics to fit together. And that was super cool. And it made me want the toy really badly. Because I'm like, I've always wanted this toy. I wanted all the cars to come together.
I literally had this toy and I loved it.
I'm going to find it on eBay. I wanted all the pieces to fit together and turn into the Megazord. And it starts doing that. I'm like, yes, this is what I want. And then it goes poof and it turns into a guy in a suit that looks nothing like what they were doing prior.
Here's the thing, though. What it was turning into looked really cool.
Yes.
When it poofed to the guy in the suit, I'm just like, oh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. It's very off-putting. They should have made the guy in the suit look better.
It looked like this badass mech.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's clearly like a skinny man in a suit.
He got much skinnier, didn't he?
Yeah.
They should have just made his costume a little bit more tangible and metallic looking.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, again, they're not going to do CGI this time, but just build a better costume.
It still looked better than the Megazord and Mighty Morphin.
Maybe, but just do a better costume is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you don't have to like transition to a guy in a foam suit because it looks like foam.
Well, I think that might have just been the Sentai suit.
No, of course.
Yeah.
100%.
But the effects they did building it, that looked so much better.
Then don't tease me with an amazing effect.
Yep.
Because
you even see the Zord like rise up and you're like, that looks cool as fuck.
And then
now it's a guy.
And yep.
I like the Malagor's suit though. That was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it was pretty run-of-the-mill Power Rangers. But yeah, I know it's cool. You know what, though? A little bit of CGI. It's like little mandibles kind of open stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, like
pretty cool.
Like three of them. He looked cool. They reused that like model of character in space for a character named Dark Spectre.
There you go. Tommy, Adam, and Jason all participate in the martial arts tournament with Rocky watching on from outside the ropes. Also in attendance are the rest of the Rangers, Justin, his whole class, seemingly all of Angel Grove, and a cameo appearance from Ernie. The three Rangers win.
This martial arts tournament seemed weird because it looked like a free-for-all.
It was. It was three individual matches happening simultaneously.
Is that a thing that normally... Does anybody with experience in martial arts tournaments know if that's a thing?
I have no idea.
Because it just seemed weird to me. Yeah.
Guys in the chat.
I'm thinking more like Karate Kid where it's like single matches.
Sure, yeah.
But this was like everybody's in a ring just kicking the shit out of each other.
I mean, I think it's for like...
It was like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it was like for the effect of like...
it was a fine scene.
Exciting scene.
It was exciting.
Kids. Yeah.
Especially when Adam won. Yeah.
He
was great.
There you go. Love Adam.
And then they win $25,000 for the shelter. And I the kinda... check was already made. Did you notice that? It was already like paid to the order of...
Well, maybe they had a backup one that they...
You have to pay to make those checks, though.
Yeah, they'll just burn the other one so it doesn't get cashed. You don't cash the big check, though.
No, but like... It's
just
like,
a prop.
Yeah, don't those cost money to create?
Yeah, but it's like, you know, like for like the Super Bowl and stuff.
Oh, where they have like... They make the merchandise for both teams and then... Yeah.
It's kind of cool having Jason for that scene. Like, he came back to do karate, you know?
Yeah, and he, like, he filled in for Rocky.
Yeah.
What a pal.
What a pal.
And Rocky will probably never do martial arts again.
No, because he's gravely injured because they wouldn't get Larigo to fix him up. Unless if maybe that happened afterwards.
There's some additional scenes during the credits that... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. During the credits, we see Bulk and Skull trying to pilot the Megasword on the way home. And the team saying goodbye to Larigo.
Honestly, I kind of like those little scenes because that's very much like what they did on the show where they'd have like additional scenes during the credits.
I think they should have been in the movie. I think some of that would have been fun to see at the end.
Probably. It was probably scenes that they cut and they're like, let's put it in here in a montage.
I mean, if this was made today, they would have made them because of Marvel.
Post-credit scenes.
Actual post-credit scenes where we can actually like see the scene, listen to it, not like a montage.
Yeah.
You know?
It being a montage though, like, with, like, the song that was playing during the credits, which I actually really like that song. Something about it felt very good. It was feel good. I don't know.
Okay. That's the movie.
That's the movie.
That's it. That's all we got.
It's a messy movie, for sure.
Analysis, yeah. So what do you think? Overall thoughts here.
Here's the thing. I still do love this movie. I also do recognize, though, that it's probably the worst Power Rangers movie.
Out of these three?
Out of these three, for sure. But it's the one that I've also gone back to the most and rewatched, though. Like, I have a good time every time I watch it, despite all the flaws. It's also the only one that's in continuity, which is wild, because this is the one that does the most weird shit.
And again, you could watch the first one as an alternate to, like, the four-episode arc, really, if you wanted to.
You might have to do some mental gymnastics to make it fit, but yeah.
I mean, this whole fucking show is nothing but mental gymnastics, which is kind of my point. Like,
right. It does feel like a comic book movie.
I'm okay with this. I think simply because I had been super primed because I'd been watching a ton of Power Rangers before I put this on.
So you know how it goes.
Yeah. I watched an episode where they made a monster who's like a traffic light monster. and he would hit you with a beam. So if he hit you with a green beam, you couldn't stop moving. And so he hits Trini with a green beam, and she just starts running. She's like, I can't stop running. And she just runs away from the fight. Meanwhile, he uses the red beam on like three other Rangers, and they're frozen in place. And it's down to one Ranger to fucking
Power
figure
Rangers
this out.
Power Rangers has always done like silly, crazy shit like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not that big a deal.
But I think my problem with this movie, I think its cardinal sin is that it's not
explaining the Zeo powers disappearing.
All right, sure. It's just not fun enough.
Like, really? You don't think it's fun?
I don't think it's enough fun.
Okay, okay.
I think unlike that episode with the fucking traffic light monster, that was fun. It was ridiculous. But it was.
I can't stop.
It running. Was so funny, though. It was
she
so
just
funny.
Leaves the fight.
She's just like, bye. And they're like, where are you going? She's like, I can't stop. She spends the whole episode running, by the way. It comes down to her, and I forget which other ranger. She has to, like, go get this flower to, like, cure them. Sound familiar? They did it in Avatar. So she's, like, running the entire time. She runs up a mountain, grabs the flower, runs back, and then cures everybody while someone else fights the traffic light monster.
And most of them are just, like, sitting still, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're frozen for the whole episode. But they can talk. But they're like, we can't move.
And stuff like that isn't even intended to be funny. It's just...
I think it's 100% intended to be funny.
There is a scene, though, in like the Green Ranger arc when he's evil. It's definitely unintentionally funny. It's when he infiltrates the Megazord. Like, he just pops up in there and he goes, like, something, something, the power of Rita. And then he punches Trini in the face and she fucking goes flying.
Oh, in that same episode, Trini... So, you know when they turn into, like the big monsters?
Yeah.
And the Megazord has to fight them? Trini is, like, still on this guy's head. And so they keep on cutting to, like, the guy in the suit with a tiny little like Trini doll like stitched onto his head, and she's just like being flapped around a lot. It's pure utter chaos and nonsense, but like it's fun though.
It is,
and
fun.
I think this movie lacks some of that fun.
I think this movie tried to do a little bit too much serious things.
Oh, yeah, the opposite. I think it's trying to do too many pandering to small children.
I don't know, because we had the whole hostage situation.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying okay. Yeah,
we had
yeah.
Lara go being like hunted through the woods with like like archers with bows.
I think if you had picked a demographic and stuck with it, it would have worked. And I think going for like the big kids would have been smarter, because if you were like me,
you already had the boobs.
Yeah. But like these bigger kids are starting to fall off of Power Rangers. They want to bring them back.
Like maybe have the franchise age at least a little bit with them.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think if you had kind of tailored it like the first movie did, where the first movie was not silly at all. I mean, it was a little silly.
It was a little silly, but like not, it wasn't like super campy or anything.
Right.
I think this one's pretty campy.
Yes. Yeah. If you had done that, I think that would have struck a balance.
Okay.
Whereas this was, like you said, some parts are like really serious and kind of adult, and some other parts are like pandering to very small children.
Mm-hmm.
Like an almost like an educational TV show would. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think characters like Elgar with a stupid fucking face. He does a fart joke also. I don't know if you remember that one.
horrible.
I like Elgar.
It's not even a good fart joke. He just farts. That's it. That's the joke.
He just farts. He's just gross.
That's the whole joke.
And that's why she killed him.
And then you're inserting a, you know, like this point of view small child into the Power Rangers.
Right.
It's just it's
a lot to juggle.
It's a bit too much. I think if they had just kind of focused on one demographic and kept it tonally balanced, mm-hmm. I think this could have worked a lot better.
Okay.
And those silly elements might have been a lot more fun in that, I guess, perspective, if that makes any sense.
I will say there's a lot of parts of this movie that feel like almost fever dreamish.
Oh, like all of it?
It's like a Power Rangers fever dream movie. And it's the movie that's canon. Like you have an alien just casually coming from another planet. It's like, hey, I need help. And
again, he shouldn't have been a troll doll. Just make him any other alien.
I didn't have an issue with Larigo's design.
Just if he had made him, what if he looked like Greedo or something? Just like an alien. I don't know. Like a humanoid looking alien, not a big old troll.
I was fine with the way he looked.
I don't know. They bit off more than they could chew with the puppetry.
That I could probably agree with.
Story wise, let's get into this. Too many elements. It's video gamey. It's hard to keep up with. There's a lot of words and names. I don't know. This isn't Game of Thrones. It's fucking Power Rangers. You know what I'm saying?
Story's pretty messy. Story's probably the weak point with this movie.
Over convoluted. Just cut some of those elements out.
Yeah.
Drag it out a little bit so it's less rushed. And explore your characters more. There seems to have been a whole Justin subplot.
The show might dive into that more. Because this is also like a pilot episode.
Right.
Kind of.
Well, also retroactively. The show did that because the movie did not.
Yeah.
Right. They cut that stuff out.
My dad's missing and I'm an orphan. That's
but
the
why?
Story.
I'm
right
like, now. I just need more details. Like, why did your dad leave you here? Like, you're 11. What are you doing?
I almost asked, where do you live? Clearly he lives at the orphanage.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's
the,
weird.
The shelter. They call it the shelter.
Right, but it's an orphanage. cinematography. I think this movie looks, I don't know.
I think the movie looks totally fine.
It looks like a cross between like a real movie and like a fancy TV episode.
Oh, I think that's exactly what this was.
No, sure. But I'm saying this came out in theaters. It had like a big enough budget. It could have looked a little bit better.
It was like a slightly higher budget TV episode.
It starts out really strong, though, in the boxing ring and they're fighting. The way those...
The camera works good,
though. Yeah. The way the camera moves very kinetically, I felt like, oh, I'm in a movie now.
Yeah.
It gave me that same sense of the first movie where I'm used to the Power Rangers in a very two-dimensional, flat TV screen.
I feel like there was definitely a lot more work put into the first movie than this one, though.
Oh, for sure. First of all. Absolutely. But a little bit of credit here is at least there were parts that felt more cinematic.
Yeah.
There was a lot more movement.
There was effort there, yeah.
Yeah, even watching some of the older episodes, you get a lot of very two-dimensional kind of flatness. And I don't mean that like in the camera. I mean like in the blocking of all the actors and stuff.
Like they're like standing in like a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know how like Scooby-Doo is a very two-dimensional cartoon?
Yeah.
They're only moving left to right. There's never any depth to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt like.
Okay.
Like the TV show.
Yeah.
Whereas this felt like 3D space.
It felt like a movie.
There's depth to it. They're moving forward and backwards. Like the camera's moving around. They're not on like a very flat set. You know? They're on location. That kind of stuff you can appreciate.
Actually, quite a bit of this movie felt... Did they do a lot of this movie on location?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, not a lot of it felt like a set at all.
I think...
Maybe like the lava room. That's about it.
That was a set.
And, and the command center.
Yeah. And I think they recycled that command center because it was a slight upgrade from the Zio. And then that got put into the TV show, which is good.
Again, that's just staying within continuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Acting. I don't love Diva Tox's character. I thought she was way too whiny. And now I'm starting to make sense of her name. She's a big diva.
Right.
Diva Tox.
She's a toxic diva.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I like her character. I thought she was very entertaining. Like her mannerisms and stuff. I don't know. Something. There was just something about her. I was like, I like this.
I don't know. I'm just kind of comparing her to like Ivan Ooze, who just shows up and he steals the show. You know what I mean? And maybe that's an unfair comparison because he's like a real actor.
He's like, he was like a theater guy. Yeah.
But you love the music in this.
I do. I like the music in most Power Rangers stuff, though. There's just, it's like kind of corny, but still kind of badass, like rock/metal.
Yeah. You know what I always think about? I always think about the Zio theme because it was the Mighty Morphin theme, but then they were snuck in. Go Zio.
They made it epic.
It was one of those things where it's like, you know those TikToks where like...
They made it like hair metal-y almost.
Yeah, you know those TikToks where like they've got a band and like it's one guy playing every
part.
Oh,
it was like when they made the song.
Yeah.
And they do like...
And then like the soloist comes in from the back room and they're and like, oh my like, God.
Oh. I love that guy.
That's the guy who did the Zio line over the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme.
Here's the thing, even like the... When they go Z, even instrumental, that's cool. It's like do. It's like
it worked really, really
well. It's very cool sounding. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna watch Zio next.
I like the turbo theme too. I thought the turbo theme's pretty cool.
It was fine. It was good. Yeah.
It's a little on the nose.
We quite like the costumes, but for being TV costumes, they look like some of the best quality TV costumes we had seen up until this point,
because I think they literally just used the TV costumes for this. I don't know, the helmets look nicer in this. That could just be because they use nicer cameras.
It looks very shiny. Yeah. They might have just made new ones because they have a budget, right?
True. Why not use it in the series, unless they film the series first?
I just really love all the chrome pieces. I think that's so cool.
It's very, very vehicle like
You know what you didn't mention last time? The power coins on the chest.
Oh, that they were like there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? That in the TV shows, they never had the power coins on the chest.
No, it was just like spandex.
Right. Yeah. It was the toys and the coloring books and the lunch boxes. All of the merchandising, they had the power coins on the chest.
Did.
And so they worked
Oh, man.
Yeah, they worked. And that was always like a mystery to me why.
It's like a Mandela effect type thing.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I was very conscious of this because I was very detail oriented as a kid. That I would watch the show, they don't have the power coins on the chest.
Yeah.
And then I do the coloring books and the action figures, and they all have
I had the action the coins figures on the like the transforming heads.
Yes,
I like had the that. Heads yep. would like go down yeah. and the helmet would come up.
I had that one.
Those did have the power coins on the chest
because
you'd like push it in.
So then they worked it into the movie and it's
it looks cool.
It looks fine. Yeah, it looks good. Are you ready to move on to keep or cancel?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna do I want to do two people, Austin St. John and Amy Jo Johnson. Let's do Austin St. John first.
Oh, he had a little bit of a controversy recently.
Yeah. So we mentioned it earlier if you just skipped all the way here, but Austin St. John, most famous for playing Jason, the Red Ranger, and his real name is actually Jason.
I didn't know his real name was Jason, though. I always thought he was just Austin St. John.
Yeah, I learned that today.
Huh.
Jason Lawrence Geiger.
What a name.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
1974. He's 48 years old, professionally known as Austin St. John. His first acting role, and obvious, is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers when he landed the role at 19.
Okay.
And as soon as he gets it, he wants to take on a stage name. He came up with Austin St. John from the $6 Million Man. The main character's name is Steve Austin.
Steve Austin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And St. John being a name of his own choosing. You know what, though? For a 19-year-old coming up with, like...
That's not a bad name, actually.
It's not bad. Not only did I think it was real, I thought it was pretty cool sounding. I thought it was pretty badass.
I'm Austin St. John.
Austin St. John, that's a good name.
It is. All right. Good job, Jason.
Good job. It's better than Jason Geiger.
Yeah, that's...
Just makes me think of, like, you know, the Geiger meter, which is a...
Like Geiger counters? Or like,
yeah.
Radiation?
Right. They measure radioactive material. Like, that's not fun.
Oh.
Austin St. John, that's way more fun.
Sorry to anyone whose last name is Geiger.
Real quick through his filmography. It's not a lot. It is...
I think it's mostly Power Rangers.
Yeah. He did Power Rangers from 93 to 94. 79 episodes as Jason Lee Scott. He left halfway through season two, replaced by Rocky at the same time.
It was because of money, Zach
and
right?
Trini. Yes. He and the cast were trying to mini-unionize because they weren't part of the SAG union. No.
Yeah, like,
so they were
Power
getting...
Ranger projects were, like, not union projects at all.
No, so they were getting fucked, right? Yeah. And so they tried to, like, get all six Rangers on the same page so that they could, you know, do a collective bargaining against
like they can't the replace
show.
Us all, like, that exactly. mentality.
But what ended up happening is that, I mean, I don't know all the actors' names. So, like, Jason David Frank, Amy Jo Johnson, and, oh, I do, actually, and David Yost.
Oh, I do know their names.
They all kind of broke off, and they're
like, eh.
They didn't do that, so they
like,
stayed
you know
behind.
What? Maybe I want to keep doing this.
Right, which is probably smart. They had longer careers.
They did, and, yeah, you're right.
We'll talk about Amy Jo Johnson, but she's still in the industry.
She's directing stuff now.
Directing.
Yeah, she's a director.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why... Austin St. John, the guy who plays Zach, and the guy and the girl who plays Trini, again, their names I don't have written down here, they ended up leaving and getting replaced.
Okay. I think the guy that played Zach is Walter Jones. Trini, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I know how to spell it.
Well, okay.
There's a way to pronounce it. It's not pronounced the way you would think.
So he comes back, obviously, 2 years later for Power Rangers Zeo. We've talked about that. He was in a TV movie called Exposé and then came back a few years after that for Power Rangers Wild Force as a guest star in Forever Red.
Oh, yeah. Also, her name was Twi Trang.
Okay. That Forever Red episode, I didn't realize was that old. That's from 2002. It's already been 20 years since that happened. There have been 20 more Red Rangers.
At least. Yeah. And the thing is, at the time, like that episode was a huge deal.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because, yeah, Tommy came back for that one, too. Even in that episode, you're like, oh, man, that's the legendary Tommy.
Yeah. I mean, you had, like, 9 years of Power Rangers.
Yeah, you already had a pretty decent roster there.
Comes back one more time in 2020 for Power Rangers Beast Morphers.
Oh, so fairly recent.
Yeah, in an episode called Grid Connection. I've seen that all over the YouTubes.
People talk about that episode a lot. Yeah.
I watched that scene. I thought it was kind of cringy, but there you have it.
I think a lot of the newer Power Rangers stuff is kind of cringy.
You know what? I'm deep in it now. I might as well keep going.
There's so many Power Rangers YouTube videos, and they're all full of information.
Oh, yeah. A lot of my information came from the Sixth Ranger.
He's one of the best ones.
Yeah. So if you look. Shout out. If you need some Power Ranger lore background, go to him. Yeah.
There's another channel I found, but it's like it's weird. It feels like it's just like an AI reading a script.
That's not fun.
No, it's a little weird.
Yeah. He voiced Jason in the Power Rangers Battle for the Grid video game 2019.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That game's good.
Do you have that game?
I do. It plays a lot like Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's probably the best Power Ranger
game. It's got a lot of Power Rangers in them.
Yeah, decent amount.
Nice. For movies, not a whole lot. Handful of movies.
Mostly just a Power Ranger guy.
Mostly either unreleased or short films. Very low budget stuff. Not a real serious actor. He does have a couple other ventures. He is a proficient martial artist. He has a second degree black belt in Taekwondo, a first degree black belt in Judo, and a first degree black belt in Kenpo.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Well, he was already a martial artist. When right. he got the role.
But three black belts in three different disciplines. Like, I don't know. Something about that's just very, like, impressive to me.
For sure. And then there is a quote-unquote beef with
He had some beef with Jason David Frank, but I don't think it was that serious.
Yes. So here's the thing. I did extensive research on this
beef. It wasn't, like, fans blew it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that interesting. apparently they just didn't get along.
And which that's it, which happens.
Which is normal.
Did you know the two main Mythbusters did not like each other at all?
That seems more serious than this.
Jamie Hyneman and the other Adam guy. Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not friends.
I think I'm on Team Adam. He's cool.
Yeah. Jamie was the one that was apparently like the sourpuss.
Yeah.
Which comes off in the show too. He's very like serious.
I did a bit of a deep dive. I watched a ton of interviews from both these guys. And my main takeaway is it's not a big deal.
No, I don't think they disliked each other. They just didn't get along.
They just didn't get along.
So when Jason David Frank passed, like Austin posted something recently that felt very like genuine.
Of course.
He even mentions like, yeah, we didn't always get along, but like, you know, we always be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And watching interviews, it seemed like they're both named Jason. So it's confusing. Austin St. John. It seemed like he's just not that open. Like, it seemed like he's just going to be more diplomatic in his answers.
Yeah.
Whereas Jason David Frank...
He was much more frank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jason David Frank seems a little less mature. He seems like the guy... Say, you know, you graduate high school, you leave town, you go back, you go down to the pool hall, and there he is. He hasn't moved.
Reminiscing.
Yeah. He's got a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah.
He's like... half drunk. That's the impression I always got of Jason David Frank. Now, he seems to be a super good guy.
Right.
He just kind of seems to be that kind of guy.
Jason David Frank was very much into like just his Power Rangers thing. Like that was, I mean, he made his career out of it.
So he very openly was like, yeah, like we didn't get along. He called Austin St. John like a one-upper. Like he just seemed very disingenuous about like martial arts and stuff, which kind of annoyed Jason David Frank. Apparently like...
He was also very serious about martial arts.
Right.
This is like some like Cobra Kai beef.
He just thought like Austin was like a liar and like full of himself and annoying.
So he had an impression of him.
Yeah. And I kind of like, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd get that. Like, I don't like disingenuous people either.
I've met people like that.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They exist.
I don't
hate them.
Of course. And I don't think they hated each other either. And apparently like they did some light trash talking, but they're also like in cons. Like, why not?
They'll go to the same con. Yeah. They never, like, had altercations or anything like that. They were fine.
So, I don't know. I thought that was worth mentioning. It's whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
What I do want to talk about, though, real quick.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
In May 2022, he was indicted on federal fraud charges related to the CARES Act. He allegedly conspired in a $3.5 million scheme to create businesses or use an existing business to submit applications to fraudulently obtain Paycheck Protection Program funding, PPP.
Ooh.
PPP frauds are kind of, they're not common, but you hear a lot about them because around COVID time, you know,
they've become common.
Yeah. So PPP is a program to like, it's Paycheck Protection. So like people that lost jobs, their employers, this is classic trickle-down economics, their employers were given to disperse to their employees.
Right.
And you're putting a lot of trust in these employers, right?
To actually give the money to, exactly. Or the full amount of money to these employees.
Right.
That's the thing, the full amount.
And to not like...
make up a company?
Sure. Yeah. Like fudge the numbers a little bit, right?
Which I'm pretty sure a lot of people did.
Yeah. So... I don't know, man. It doesn't sit well with me when you're like stealing money. If you are stealing money from like Amazon or like Facebook, like evil companies that have billions of dollars, I'd be like, yeah, fuck them.
But like, money that's meant to go to people that need help.
Yeah, that's fucked. Like if you're doing a Robin Hood crime, amazing. Good for you. But like, I don't know, dude. You're stealing money that belongs to it, or it's intended to be for people. So that the economy doesn't completely tank because of COVID, right? Because a lot of people lost their jobs or were furloughed.
Money needs to keep circulating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked.
Did anything else ever come of that, though? Because I remember
he
released a statement on it or something.
So, prosecutors say participants in the conspiracy would file false supporting documentation and misrepresent key details, blah, 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 since the incident.
Because he's still going around doing cons and stuff.
He could face up to 20 years in prison. So since the incident, St. John agreed to be put on probation and his movements were restricted within the home state of Texas. However, as his occupation requires him to travel across the country, the court granted him permission to do so under legal supervision within his submitted itinerary, which included previously scheduled convention appearances.
Okay.
So he is being surveilled as he travels for these things.
To make sure he's not doing sketchy shit.
He's... I guess technically like under arrest.
Technically.
Yeah. Up until like, I guess, the trial or whatever. So that fucking sucks. That's shitty as hell.
Yeah.
And fuck, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and cancel.
No, that's not good.
And the thing is like the whole Austin St. John versus Jason David Frank thing. Like I said, I see Jason David Frank and I'm like, I get who he is. I get that he's always
a little bit dramatic, too.
He's dramatic, yeah. And he's kind of immature, and he's kind of like that guy in the pool hall, like I said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I kind of believe him.
Right.
That, like, Austin may come off as nicer on the outside, but kind of is a piece of
he's
shit.
He's kind of a dick.
He's kind of a piece of shit. And now that he's stealing millions of dollars, you are kind of a piece of shit. So I'm canceled.
I'm in the same boat. As much as I enjoy his work, which seems to be limited to Power Rangers mostly anyway. I love the character of Jason Scott. But yeah, no, Austin, that's not cool, dude.
No. Bad. Cancel. Next, Amy Jo Johnson. Kimberly.
I love her. I hope she didn't do anything bad.
I don't think so. Just one of my favorite people growing up. Like, she's just... She looks like a hot mom. Look at her.
Yep.
Born 1970 makes her one of the oldest Power Rangers, even though she looked like the youngest.
She's one of the oldest Power Rangers, like... Currently, still.
I guess ever.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah. Unless somebody older got cast in a later season, but I don't think that happened.
Yeah, she was born in 1970, making her 52. Currently, she was 4 years older than Austin St. John.
Wow.
Well, I mean, she's still 4 years older than Don.
She was 4 years older now.
That's never going to change. Study gymnastics. Yeah, so
they incorporated that into her character.
They got gymnasts and martial artists for Power Rangers. Her first breakthrough role came a month after she moved to Los Angeles when she selected to portray Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger.
Thank God she did.
Holy shit. The show brought her little financial security, and she and others were only paid $600 a week.
Ooh, that's bad.
That's
really bad.
Which included stunt work and public appearances. Yeah, it is really bad.
Ooh, they got... Okay, I see why the others wanted to, like... get a little bit more for their work.
None of the cast received any royalty payments, and reruns of the episodes they appeared in.
Oh, that sucks so much. They got ripped off.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they still, like, support the franchise. Because they got, like, burned at the beginning.
She faced multiple instances of danger of physical harm while filming Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. She was almost set on fire during a stunt. And during Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, she was almost electrocuted.
What?
Ultimately, made the decision to leave the show in 1995. Passing the role of the Pink Ranger to Australian actress Catherine Sutherland.
Okay.
In an interview, she jokingly stated that having been the Pink Ranger was something she would never live down. In later years, Johnson stated that becoming famous from the show was at times overwhelming and had given her nightmares.
Oh, shit.
It is a crazy bit of fame to just get.
Well, also, they were probably like the poorest famous people ever.
Yeah.
That's got to be weird on its own.
But she's overall grateful to the show and her fans.
Okay.
Along with co-star Jason David Frank, she made a cameo appearance in the 2017 Power Rangers.
Yes.
Here's a famous picture of her from the year 2000 holding a Game Boy Color.
Holy shit.
You've seen this picture before?
Yep.
Yeah, it's circulated as like, here's something from the 90s.
She's adorable.
She went on to be in Disney Channel Suzy Q and Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
Okay.
She was in one episode.
I think she's done quite a bit more than most other Rangers have.
Yeah, she has a huge filmography. I think she might be one of the most successful Power Rangers. Movies, other than Power Rangers and Turbo, she's in a movie called Without Limits, Cold Hearts, Interstate 60, Islander, Tiger Eyes, A Space Between...
I haven't seen any of these.
Sorry, this is the one that she directed, A Space Between.
Oh, okay.
It's a Canadian movie.
Currently a director, mostly a director, right?
Yeah, so TV, Felicity. She was the main cast in Felicity.
Oh.
Julie Emmerich.
Okay.
I've heard of Felicity, but I know nothing.
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
Never really watched it, yeah. Starring Kerry Russell.
I know she starred in like another show where she was like a cop or something.
She was in ER for an episode, Spin City for an episode, The Division regularly.
Was that the show I'm thinking about?
Police procedural drama, yep.
Yep, okay.
All women cast.
Oh, yep, yeah. She's in a lot of stuff, but it's like nothing that I've watched.
She was a main cast in Flashpoint, not The Flash.
I know.
Directing episodes of Superman and Lois.
She is currently doing that. Yeah.
I saw that on Instagram.
My dad likes that show. I have not given it a chance. My dad also likes that guy as Superman, though. Wasn't it Tyler?
Tyler Hoechlin or something. Hoechlin. Something like that. she had a brief music career, too. Singer-songwriter released 3 albums in 2001, 2005, and 2013.
I don't think her musical career is very successful, though.
Okay, but 3 albums. It's 3 albums.
That's true. That's more than I have.
That's 3 more than either of us put together. There's a movie, and I can't remember what movie it is, but it's a movie that I had seen a million times, and there's an extra in the movie that I always thought was Amy Jo Johnson.
But it's not?
Apparently it's not, because I ended up looking it up, and I don't remember what movie it is, but I had seen it so many times, and every time I'd pause it, I'm like, that's her. Is it
possibly like an uncredited appearance?
I mean, it's like an extra, though.
Or do you think it's like the Guardian situation with Mark Hamill?
Yeah, it's like that guy looks
just like Mark Hamill. It was like that, but it's not him.
It looked like her. Okay. But like none of that stuff goes undiscovered anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that would be on her filmography if it was her.
True. Yeah. It looks like she was not involved with any weird controversies.
She's not stealing money from the government.
She's a dual citizen of the United States and Canada.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's cool.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Keep her.
She's awesome.
I'm very happy that I don't have to cancel the biggest childhood crush I've ever had.
Same.
And God damn it, does she look hot in this movie. All right, let's wrap this up. Birdo, Into the Phantom Zone, Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. What will you say?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Like, don't put this in the Phantom Zone. It's messy, sure. It's got flaws. But I think overall it's... I know you said it wasn't fun enough. I think it was a pretty fun movie. I like the characters. I think it was a good introduction to this. As far as pilots go, this is a really good pilot. A lot of the pilot movies we've gone through have been kind of,
okay.
But like this one, I don't know. I like it. It might be the worst Power Ranger movie, quality-wise, story-wise. But I don't know. There's something about this movie that I cannot bring myself to banish.
I think I'm still stuck on, like, I guess my opinion from when I was a kid and I hadn't seen this movie. I like the aesthetic. I like the cars.
Right.
I like the chrome accents on the helmets, that kind of thing.
It's cool. I mean, stuff
look at this poster.
Here.
It's a great looking poster.
It's a cool ass poster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, however, like, as a basic litmus test, it's not better than your average Power Rangers TV episode. And I think that's what my problem is. It's got a much bigger production value. You know, this is a movie.
Yeah.
It's got a much bigger budget. But is it more exciting? Is it more fun? Is it better than just like your average couple episodes of TV? I kind of don't think so. I think it feels a lot like this could have been a TV movie. Like one of the, you know, we're going to package 6 episodes into one movie, right, or whatever. That's kind of how I feel. I don't think it's fun enough. It doesn't make enough sense. It's not silly enough for it to be like funny. It's just
is it
kind
too
of
like
boring.
Middle of the road for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's just too middle of the road.
No pun intended.
No. Either be more serious, get rid of the kid. I don't know.
Something had to change.
I don't know. It's all things I said earlier. Like, go back. There's too many kiddie elements or there's not enough. It's one or the other. Do you know what I mean?
Pick a lane.
Yes. Thank you again. Great puns. Great puns from you today. You're outstanding job, Birdo.
And the thing is, I hate puns.
There's stuff I enjoyed. There's boobs, I guess. And you know what? These actors, they have so much experience with Power Rangers at this point. They have the chemistry. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They were solid. We didn't really talk about them as much. And I like seeing that. I like that these guys just don't miss a beat.
No, like acting, not even an issue in this movie for
no.
me at all.
I mean, they're not like great actors or anything, but like
no,
they're...
No, but they're not terrible either.
You know what? They understand the assignment.
Yeah.
They go out there, they do the job well done. Yeah.
Be Power Rangers. Yeah. All right. We can do that.
I'm going to probably say banish... Because
here's
the thing.
That hurts my heart.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. unless if you're primed for this, unless if you have like early,
like some sort of connection,
unless if you have 90s Power Rangers nostalgia, or you did what I did and you just watch a shit ton of this old stuff.
Yeah.
You binge it before you go in. I don't think this works. Taken out of that context in a vacuum, well, I don't think that works. Well, it
doesn't help that this story also doesn't really work out of context if you don't know what the fuck happened in Zio.
I mean, kinda.
Yeah.
I guess it's a partial for me, like...
It's got, like, a foot in.
Yeah, sure.
All I'm saying is, if I ever saw this on TV, I would stop and watch it. I would.
I think you'd do that for most things.
No.
Okay. Guys, so that's it for us. Birdo, what are we doing next? Drum roll. No, you're very excited.
Power Rangers.
2017.
Yeah. The one that I feel like not enough people watched.
No, because they're not making a sequel. They're doing something else.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it, but I think it deserved the sequel.
They should have done six of those, and they could have by now. They could have done at least done two. We could have been on the third Power Rangers movie.
Hell yeah.
They're all like in college.
And everything would have been established already.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think the people from that movie, like half of them are way too famous now.
They're too famous and they're old.
Yeah.
Like they were already kind of old. Like I know like the Australian guy who plays Jason, like he was already too old to be a high schooler, but like he barely pulled it off.
He looked like he could be a senior.
I don't know about that, but
he played a younger high schooler in Stranger Things.
I guess that's true. He looked softer in Stranger Things, though.
Which is weird.
Like, his face looked softer. He looked younger in Stranger Things.
Which is crazy, because that was afterwards.
I know. Or, like, around
is
the
he
same...
aging in reverse? Yeah, Becky G's, like, a famous...
She was famous then, too, though.
I think she's more famous now, though.
Really?
More famous than she was, yeah.
I never hear anyone talk about Becky G.
Not even in Spanish?
No. Guys, that's it for us. We're going to be back next time with 2017 Power Rangers. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to that piano dude for a musical intro. Guys, make sure you leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you are listening to us. It will surely help a lot, and I would really appreciate it. Please tell a friend, and thank you so much if you told a friend. If you haven't told a friend about Films on the Phantom Zone,
then what the hell are you doing?
I'm not thanking you explicitly. you're okay. If you made it this far, you're okay.
Yeah, if you made it to the end of the episode, I mean, hey, thanks.
Yeah, sure. You can support the show on Patreon, where you will have access to our second podcast. We have a second podcast. It's not this one. It's a second one. Birdo, what is our second podcast?
Where's Mephisto? Where we look for Mephisto and... usually current streaming television. Right now there's nothing big currently streaming. Like we're talking big, like usually like nerdy related stuff.
Yeah, we did Andor though.
We did Andor. Bad Batch is streaming, but you're not caught up on the animated Star Wars universe.
Nope. Well, we did an episode where we're just kind of talking about we're looking for Mephisto wherever we can find him.
Right.
So
what are we doing in life? What are we watching? What are we reading?
Yeah,
what are we
that kind of thing.
Playing.
Yeah. So that's on our Patreon. You can get there as low as $3 a month. And you'd be really helping us out, paying for the lights, the microphones, etc.
Yeah. We also have blooper episodes that
Outtakes.
Outtakes, same thing.
It's not, because outtakes, we're not having bloopers. It's like things that, it's like conversations that like don't make it in the show.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all
right. So they're out. Anyway, outtakes.
There's bloopers mixed in there, I'm sure.
Bloopers are like,
I fucked up.
Anyway, guys, that's just linked below on our link tree. Go in there. You can check it out. Download the Patreon app. Listen to Where's Mephisto. If you want to hang out with us, though, during the week, we have a Discord server, and that's absolutely free. Just go join Discord if you don't already have one. And we talk about all of the latest news and movies and stuff.
We got to watch that Ant-Man trailer.
We can probably do that right now, actually. Yeah. That's on Discord. That's linked below. Again, free. And if you want to be a part of the episodes, like I said up top, we stream these episodes live on Twitch and you can hang out with us like Redback Cosplay, The Man Named John, Real Comic Book Talk, Honey Badger.
That was quite the assortment today.
We had a lot of friends on. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming in. If you were here streaming with us, that was so much fun. It's really helpful also when we're like, yeah, the Dino Thunder something is named this.
And then we get corrected.
And then someone with Google is...
Actually, it's called the Tyrannosaurus
red dragon Megazord creature. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Because we can't possibly remember all that fucking shit.
There's a lot of information to remember.
Just one more time. If you have a problem with me getting something correct about Power Rangers, you fucking do it. It's hard.
Also, here's the thing. Don't take that as meaning like we're not fans, because we are.
No, it's hard. It's a lot. It's very convoluted.
We are fans. We have done our research. We are deep diving, like, for real.
It's hard.
There's just so much of it.
Yeah. Anyway, you can find us on Instagram at Films from the Phantom Zone. You can find us to argue with us on Twitter at Films from PZ. We're also on TikTok at Films from PZ. And most of these episodes are available on YouTube as soon as it's a trickle of me uploading them. So anyway, guys, we will see you next time. And goodbye from me.
Bye.